Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Another live prophetic talk show where we actually do it more than we talk about it. That is ministered to you personally. So if you want some of that tonight, we're going to be praying over offerings tonight. We're going to be taking communion tonight. So get your communion cup out and get ready for that. We're going to be doing that tonight, believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders. We're trying to reveal, you know, to the body of Christ how powerful communion is in all of its facets, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. And it's pretty amazing, really, when you see it all. It's pretty amazing, the power of communion. And we do that every Thursday, by the way. And so if you're interested in that, you might want to get your communion cup out. Just find something that you can, drink from and, get you a little juice or some kind of, it doesn't matter what kind of juice it is. It can be just anything, really. If you don't have grape juice, grab something and grab some bread. If you don't have bread, get some cereal, just something that's bread-like. And we're going to pray over it, believe God to bless the body of Christ. Believe God. The communion is so powerful, and God is really starting to reveal how powerful communion is in all of its facets. And so as we get downloaded to us, the power of communion, I think we're going to have a really big change in how the power of God comes upon us and how that we, when we take communion, the resurrection power of Christ Jesus after we celebrate his death and then watch the Spirit of God speak over us and bless us in the realm of just as if you never did it, whatever you did wrong, whatever your sin was, whatever the thing was. Because that's what resurrection has to do with. Communion has to do with the cross of Christ, what Christ paid for. And we see that when we celebrate communion, you don't even celebrate the resurrection when you're doing that, because that's what the Bible talks about. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says we celebrate the death, not the resurrection, but the death of Christ, because that's where the payment was made. And to understand the payment that was made and really get that in your heart and your mind and your soul, it's everything to how the communion works with you and works for you in your behalf the way it's supposed to. And so we talked last night some about communion and the power of it and the amazing revelation that God's given me, just provoking me to think about things. I mean, he gives me ideas and thoughts to provoke me to ask him, that sounds really wild to me. What do you mean by that? And that's what he does. He'll give me a really unusual thought process, and then I do research on it and in the Bible and the Word of God with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, it's literally amazing to me, at least the things that I get off of that and I get out of that. So welcome to the place tonight where we revelate. Yes, we teach and all that, but one of the main things that we talk about here is revelating, getting sometimes spontaneous revelation from the Lord during the show. That happens all the time because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And also because, in the prophetic realm, I get a lot of information, words that I talk about and teach about and revelate on just many times, maybe an hour or two before the show. And because I stay in the Word on a regular basis, I'm pretty familiar with, the Word overall, so I kind of know where it's going and what it means, because when I sit back and ask the Lord and start meditating on it, here's the thing, when you get a word from God, whether it's a prophetic word or you get some revelation from the Holy Spirit, like what we get into just about every night here, if you don't meditate on it, there's not going to be any real revealing of it to you that becomes real to you. And if it doesn't become real to you, friend, it's not going to help you through your struggles and through your battles. The Word becoming real and alive inside of you, because the Word is like a seed. A seed is dead in a sense. It's not producing anything. So it has to go through the death process of being buried in the ground, and then it begins to be watered. The outer shell begins to soften up, and out comes the life of that seed that was dead, if you will. There's life in it, but it's dead, and it'll stay dead until you plant it. That's the same thing with prophecies and with the word of the Lord. It will stay dead in you. It's like a seed. It's a living seed. It's got living information in it. It's got living life in it. But just like an apple seed or any kind of a wheat seed or whatever, it has to fall into the ground. It has to fall into your soul of meditation. And meditation is what buries it deep enough to where it's not shallow. The more you meditate on it, on the word of the Lord, the more you meditate on that, the more securely that seed is planted inside you, where the enemy can't steal it or rob it or take it from you. Much less it opening up and speaking something to you personally. I mean, just to hear what I have to say, or other people, you know, other good teachers and revelators and pastors have to say about the Word of God, is only just like getting the seed. We take the seed home, we put it in a jar, put it up on the shelf. Oh, man, yeah, I remember when I got that word. You know what I'm saying? No, we need to take it into our soul and meditate on it. And just like God told Joshua, he says, meditate on the word. Well, the word can be a prophetic word. It can be scriptural words given to you. It can be any kind of word that God speaks to you. It's a seed. So what causes that seed to begin to spring forth with life is the fact that you meditate on it. Meditation on the word of God is what causes it to spring forth inside of you and make you successful. Successful means that it comes alive and means something to you, and it's not just something somebody said to you that was really awesome. It's something that got inside you and brought awe inside of you, because the Father, just like Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood have not revealed the seed, but my Father. When the Father reveals it, that means the seed has been planted in you, and that seed has been meditated on, and it grows up in you and begins to tell you who Jesus is. It's not somebody else telling you who Jesus is. It's the word of God coming alive inside of you and telling you who Jesus is. And, friend, that is absolutely amazing. And when that happens, when the word comes alive inside of you, how does it come alive? Well, we just said it, the process of meditation, meditating on the word of God. You know, we read in Joshua 1 where it says that God told Joshua to meditate on the word of God day and night. Joshua 1:8, I believe it says. I haven't looked it up today because I didn't plan on talking about this exactly. But so obviously tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how do you get the word of God that you get from the Lord? How do you get those words to become your words, other than the fact that it had your name on it, it had whatever your name is, and this, thus saith the Lord, and blah, 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 whatever the Lord says to you and gives you information. Does that work different than the word of God that you read in the Bible? It's a little bit different, but the process is always the same, because the word of God is like a seed, and so the seed, what causes the seed or the word you're getting from the prophetic word of the prophet, or that you're getting from the scripture, and something comes alive to you, and you know it magnifies to you, and you, it becomes important to you, so you try to searching it out. Or a preacher preaching a word and something, or teacher teaching something, and you just really get something out of it. Well, that's the beginning. That's it. And when you hear it, when you read it, when you get it, and it's special to you, even when it's special to you, it doesn't automatically just do everything. See, that's where a lot of people misunderstand. They think, well, I got this word and waiting for it to come pass. Well, okay, well, that's cool. Some words are sovereign, that's for sure, and some words are, but we have to understand the word of the Lord planted inside you is for you to get. It's not some like thing like a presidential election. You know, those are not seeds planted, and the seed grows up, and all of a sudden Joe Biden wakes up and goes, I'm president, you know, or Donald Trump goes, I'm president, or whoever. Yeah, it has nothing to do with it. That's a sovereign, that's a different kind of a word. But the word that is for you personally, the reason God has the prophet speak to people personally, at least around here, that's what we do. Or you can be even in a preaching service, in a ministry service, and all of a sudden, you know how it is. It happens to all of us. You hear some great preacher, teacher, some woman of God up there, you know, getting down on the Word of God and just, oh, my gosh, what an awesome teaching. But you know what? No matter how awesome it is, that's only the beginning. That's the dead seed planted inside. It's like getting you actually, you walk away with a treasure. What's the treasure? The treasure is the seed. The seed. That's the treasure. Oh, I got something today. He preached for 3 hours in 30 seconds. Something he said, the Holy Spirit, and just that one thing, friend, you don't need 100 words. You don't need a bunch of information. All you need is on a regular basis is one word on a regular basis. I'm not saying one word to last you a lifetime, one word to last you a week. I'm talking about, that's awesome. That's amazing. I'm talking about one word every day. Give us this day our daily seed, our daily word. And friend, when you get the daily word, oh, then it's like a treasure. You've got a treasure. But that treasure has to be opened up, just like you take a treasure and it has a key to it in the box, and you have to put the key in the box and turn the lock and open it up, and it has to be opened up. And then what's within it, you can go take it and spend it and give it away and help people and buy whatever you need to pay your bills. But you have to open the treasure chest. That's what a seed is. A seed is a treasure chest. But if it just sits there and you never open it up, it never gets opened up, then the treasure that is within it does not bring you manifestation of payment, right? Like a treasure chest. What is that for? That's money. That's payment. Payment for what? Payment for whatever you need it to be for. Payment to pay your mama's house off. Payment to pay your daddy's house off. Payment to pay your brothers and sisters and whoever. Payment to pay whatever. It's payment. It's payment from, and when it comes from God. But if you don't ever open it up, you never can get to the treasure that's within it. So when you get that word from the Lord, whatever it is, through a prophet, through a teacher, through a revelator, through a preach somebody, you know, teaching the Word of God on maybe you like teaching, maybe you, whatever you like. When something comes, sticks out to you, and you go, "That's really cool. I caught something there." That's just you got the treasure chest. Yeah, you got a treasure. But guess what? Now it's got to be opened up. The key to opening it up is, as far as a seed, because the Word of God is, Jesus said, it's a seed. That Son of Man planted seed along the road and in the good ground and all that. The seed has to be opened up because it's what's within the seed. It's what the seed has in it that gives you payment. Payment is, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father, the treasures of heaven, the treasures of the Father, he's revealing this to you. When God reveals it to you, friend, it's not, thank God for Brother Bob, Silly Bob, Prophet so-and-so, whoever they are, teacher, whoever, pastor, thank God for them, because the flesh and blood that's used by God to plant seed. But friend, when it comes alive inside of you and that seed opens up, and it cracks open under the ground, and up arises from that dead seed that had life in it, but it's dead until it opens up. And when that treasure opens up, friend, it brings forth payment. Payment is God giving you understanding on how to be blessed. But it's your understanding. You got it. Nobody can steal it from you because nobody convinced you. It was the Father who convinced you and showed you. He opened up that seed, and that seed became what was in that treasure chest, was in that treasure of that seed, is the riches and the payment. It's the revelation that becomes yours where you walk in it. You live in it. You don't have to go no longer read other people's books on how to heal the sick. Now you've got that revelation. You can go forth and heal the sick and do whatever God's telling you to do. Because it's God that's called you. The Bible says God has called them, whom God has called. The doors that God has opened, let no man shut. The doors that God has shut, let no man open. And the ones he's opened, let no man shut. It's the ones that God opens, friend. What's God opening? How does God open it inside you? Just by telling you, just by some preacher giving it to you? No. That they're spitting out treasures, and some people get this treasure seed, and some people get another treasure seed. depends on what they need. If they're preaching and prophesying and revelating by the Holy Ghost, then they're going to be putting out seed that every person needs. Every kind of seed will come through that person. But you've got to plant it inside you. How do you plant it? What is planting it? Planting it is called meditation. And when you start meditating on the word, that's what causes it to soften. That's what causes it to open up. That's what causes you to get the key. The key is the meditating on the word, like God told Joshua, meditate on the word day and night. What does the seed do when it's in the ground? When it's in the ground, it's not just in the ground for 30 minutes. He didn't say meditate on the word for 30 minutes. He said meditate on the word day and night. When a seed is put into the ground, you go home, go to bed, that seed is still in the ground meditating. Meditation on the word of God and soaking in, asking questions. God, what does this mean? Activate this in my life. Thank you, Jesus. We water this. We thank you, Lord, for what you're speaking to me. I believe your word. Show me what it means. And then all of a sudden, the key shows up in your hand and you unlock the treasure. Patience is what buries it in the ground so that it can draw what it needs from the earth. And the wetness that it gets is the environment for the seed to split open, open up, and the treasure comes pouring out inside your soul and showing you exactly what God wants you to do. And it won't be flesh and blood telling you, oh, flesh and blood, God will use flesh and blood. You need flesh and blood to tell you things. Jesus Christ was flesh and blood, right? Was he not flesh and blood? Was he teaching the word of God? Was he planting in Peter's life? All the time. And one day, Jesus knew that he planted and he watered, but God gave the increase to Peter. And Jesus knew it by the look on his face, by the activation of the anointing and the power of the green of God, the green plant, the green, the fresh, new, beautiful, nutrient-filled plant began to spring through his soul and speak to him about who the Messiah really was. Not just what people said, because they were asked, that's what the whole conversation was about. Who do men say that I am? Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? Well, say John the Baptist, Isaiah, you know, there's all the different prophets. I don't remember all the different prophets they were, but that was the question. Who do men say that I am? Well, what's wrong with that? If they were saying that he was the Messiah, if they were saying that Jesus was the Messiah, then that's flesh and blood. If Jesus was telling them at times he was the Messiah, then that was him planting that in them. But when the Father opened it up inside of him, then he began to go, oh, my Lord and my God, I know you are the Messiah. That can never be taken from me. Never, never, never. Doesn't make you perfect right away. You know why? Because when a seed starts growing up, it starts growing up. It's not fully matured yet. Sometimes revelations have to mature. Peter, even though he had that revelation that Christ was the Messiah, yeah, when he said, when he revealed that to him, he still denied him not long after that. So what does that tell you? That tells you that just like a seed planted in the ground begins to spring up and pop through the ground, and all it is this beautiful green, you're just thankful that it came up and it broke out. I planted many seeds. I was a farmer. I farmed. I planted a lot of seed myself. You think, oh, I hope I didn't plant it too deep. Hope I didn't plant it too shallow. You know, you set your planter at a certain depth and it does it automatically, but you still, you know, have a concern about, you know, is it going to spring forth? And when it does, when those beautiful little green plants just pop out of the ground and say, hello, world, here I am, you just kind of sigh of relief. But then it's not mature, right? It's not producing wheat right away. It has to grow in you and grow in you and grow in you. And when it becomes mature, then you'll lay your life down for Jesus being the Messiah instead of denying him when the pressure's on you, like Peter did. And he already had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. So revelation is something that grows up in you. It doesn't automatically make you perfect in that revelation. You may get a revelation on finances. which we're going to try to talk about a little bit tonight. But I think I said I'm going to talk about that tonight. I hope I do. But we kind of open up a little bit different tonight. So this is what's happening, friend. And so God is saying to us tonight, you know, even though you get a revelation, give yourself time. Be patient with yourself. Don't start doubting yourself because you got a revelation on healing that it just started popping up through the ground for you. Doesn't mean that everybody you pray for is going to be healed. Right? No, it grows up and becomes strong in you. You start finding out how it works with you. Plant grows up in you. You start to figure out, okay, how does this work for me? But it's not about how it works for somebody else. It's how it works for you. The person you learn from may do it a certain way, but you know what? That plant grows up in you. That revelation grows up in you. You know, you start to find out, oh, this is me in Christ. This is Christ in me. This is the revelation of healing in me. How's it going to work in me? Am I going to actually lay hands on the sick? Am I going to just speak the word? What's going to happen? Catherine Coleman had a great, powerful healing ministry. And she very seldom, 99% of the time, didn't lay hands on people until they were healed. Right? That was the way the plant grew up inside of her. Words of knowledge happened. She just said, oh, somebody up there in the right hand side, sitting up in the top floor, you know, you've just been healed of cancer. But a lot of preachers, the way it grew up in them was he had to lay hands on them, most of them. Well, that's cool. However it grows up in you, friend, and you can't have somebody telling you what that's going to be like, how it's going to fit you. Because the anointing and the calling and the revelations that you get from God are going to fit you the way God has it for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody getting this? Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about some other things, too, I think. I plan on talking about some other things tonight, too. So give me a second here. I'm kind of working my way through this stuff. All right. Okay, let's go here and go. All right. Let's do a little bit of watering you on communion and finances. Excuse me. All right, so we talked last night about how holy communion is. And let me go there and find the scripture on some of that. I got so many things I want to share with you. I try to share what I say I'm going to share. That's why I don't really like to say I'm going to share something, because I get off on something else. But we're going to try to do this tonight a little bit. I'm going to focus on some things here. All right, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. Let's see, is that where I want to go? Yeah. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to do communion here in a little bit anyway, so that's what we're going to focus on here. And, all right. Okay. Yeah. So, I'm trying to find the scripture here. All right. Let's go here. Y'all get that on the revelation of the seed and how that works, and how meditation is the bearing the seed within you, and day and night. He told Joshua to take on the word day and night. Remember that? Yeah, meditate day and night. That's what happens to the seed. I don't know how anybody can meditate day and night, as far as just, you know, saying I'm going to meditate, you know, day and night. But when you plant a seed in the ground, it literally is day and night, all day, all night, every day and all night, until it changes into a plant and begins to multiply and increase. And that's what revelation does for us, friend. It causes your thinking to increase and multiply. I can't seem to get away from this revelation stuff tonight, so I may do that later. That the thing about, like, when a seed finally grows up and multiplies, you plant one seed in the ground, like a wheat seed, and when it finally matures, it turns into, you know, 100 seeds. So you go from one seed to 100. I don't know exactly how much that's wheat, a grain of, let's see if we can figure out how many seeds. Okay, let me do this for a second. Okay, here it is. On average, there are 22 seeds per head and 5 heads per plant, or 110 seeds per plant, within the average seed size of 15,000 seeds per pound, or 900,000 seeds. All right, so you got, if there are 22 seeds of head and 5 heads per plant, it's 110 seeds per plant. All right, I think it's saying 110 seeds. So you're getting about 100-fold out of that. So I think we're looking at about 100-fold almost on that. So somewhere around there. Anyway, it's a lot. It is a lot. So here's what happens when the reason that getting that seed to grow up in you is so important, and finding out how to do that. A lot of people don't really know how to get the seed to grow up inside them, because they don't really meditate on the word. They just get the word, and, you know, that's why sometimes word comes in such thought-provoking ways. Like, a lot of the way God does me is he'll bring a word to me, and it'll be extremely thought-provoking. Like, I think the other night I was talking about how I was sharing with somebody something really just sounded crazy to me, and that is, if you had an enemy with taking communion, reveal and reveal them or expose them or take them out or cause them to, you know, be taken out of your way. And that's what happened with, so that thought process was going through my head, right? And so that's how God does me. He'll give me a thought-provoking thought to kind of get my attention. You know, if you're walking by somebody and they say, "You've got $20 million for you today," you're going to be turning around. They just said, "Hey, I got a dollar for you," you're going to just walk right by them, right? I got $500,000 right here, and they flash. Man, that's going to, like, get your attention. And it's just, there's just things that that God does to get your attention. And so that's the way he does me. And then he'll get me to meditate on it and say, "Well, you know, what does that mean? That sounds a little bit, you know, wild to me." And so he uses that strategy on me to get me to meditate in a different fashion on something, instead of thinking about it the same old regular way that I think about communion or whatever. He'll provoke me with a thought process. Like one night, I shared this on the show. I was sitting there. I was at the, I was working out, and I was on the hydro bed, and it massages your back and goes up and down, and it's really cool. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God said, "You know, I've made you for rejection." And when the Lord said, "I've made you for rejection," I thought, I rebuked that, you know, because it was said in such a thought-provoking way. I just said, you know, I mean, that did, you know, when I heard that, I'm thinking right away, I want to rebuke that, right? Well, the whole time it was the Lord. And so this is the way God does it. So you have to understand the many different ways that God wants you to meditate on something or think of something outside the box. Outside the box. So with me, he gives me an outside-the-box thought about rejection. He said, "I've made you for rejection," just like that, just as plain as day as I'm talking to you right now, except in my spirit, man. He says, "I've made you for rejection." And with that, because I wasn't thinking about scripture about rejection. I wasn't thinking about Isaiah 53. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. I wasn't thinking about any of that. I was just trying to relax, doing nothing. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, "I've made you for rejection." And I went, "You made me for rejection? I don't like rejection. I rebuke that." So, you see, so it got my attention and kind of shook me up a little bit. And God used that to start running scripture. And then a little bit later, when I settled down and quit rebuking him, which I honestly did, he started showing me from a whole different perspective about rejection as a man of God. As Jesus was rejected from the womb. by his own, by Joseph, marrying Joseph. Joseph rejected him. No, I'm not going to marry you. He tried to quietly divorce her. You know, those babies feel every bit of that rejection. Oh, believe me, I've had experience with that in the spiritual world and in the medical world. So I know what I'm, what I'd be talking about on that. So, yeah, there you go. Oh, I've been sitting here talking, and people. I have been talking, and I had my phone on mute that whole time on that. So I apologize, you guys, for that. Wow. I didn't even know. I had muted my phone because I had to get up and do something. So sorry about that. I'm back on now. Okay, cool. So here we are. We're going to talk a little bit about, the thought-provoking word of the Lord, how God uses thought-provoking words to get you to think different. And I don't know how long I had my phone up there. Wow. Sorry about that, y'all. Okay, so you can go back and listen to the it's not on the audio on that. But anyway, all right, let's talk a little bit about the financial realm. I thought Justin would talk about that. I'm going to try to get into that if I can. I have so much I want to share with you about this. I'm going to liken communion. All right, we're going to talk about communion just a little bit and the financial realm that's connected to it. When you go to Exodus 12, chapter 10, 11, and 12, you start seeing where God connected communion, which was the Passover, which that Jesus turned, Passover into communion. That's what happened when he was in the upper room with the guys, and he told them to, you know, he took the bread and the juice, and they ate the Passover. That's what communion, what we call communion now, it's Passover. So in Egypt, Passover communion, they mean the same thing. They're the same thing. The blood of the lamb, we drink his blood. The blood of the lamb is put on the doorpost. We drink that blood, and we eat the unleavened bread. We eat bread, and it's all communion. It's all the Passover. So how your finances connect to communion is very much like taking communion, how you need to examine yourself about your giving. Now, Lord, just show me this yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. I just got this yesterday when he talked to me about some more things about communion. So communion and Passover, our money, our finances are connected to that because God told them, he said, after you put the blood over the doorpost and Passover, or what we now call communion, part of the communion was that the blood of the doorpost, that when the angel of death passed over, the very next thing they did as part of the Passover was go to the neighbors and ask for gold and silver and cloth, right? So that's what they were doing. They were going to ask for gold, silver, and cloth. And so they had their bags packed, and they're ready to go. The gold and the silver and the cloth packed up their bags the rest of the way with the gold and silver and the cloth, and they were exiting Egypt, and they were plundering Egypt, literally. Every neighbor was plundered in Egypt of their finances. So when you see this and you understand how holy the money is to God, and how in the communion realm, how God, number one, got the money for them, was a very powerful movement of God, where the reason that the Egyptians gave up the money and said, yeah, you want money? Come on in and get it. You know why they did that? You'd be stupid to do that to your slaves next door. That would be dumb. You wouldn't do that unless the God that those Israelites served put your firstborn child to death and your firstborn male, your husband, to death, and they're laying there in the living room. And then about that time, that's why he said, that's why communion and the blow of the doorpost and the financials are all connected together, and they're holy to God. because he took out the firstborn, and when he took out the firstborn, he said, go right away now, let the firstborn or land there in the bedrooms, in the front den of their house, wherever. He said, and get ready to go ask them for it while they're dead, fresh dead. Do y'all understand that? This is how they got their wealth. This is how God, not the devil, God got the wealth and the coinage and the for their money system. This was for their money system. This was going to be Israel's money system, was coming from an act of God that was to do with the death of Egyptians that were in their neighborhood. And God said, go in there while they're fresh dead. Go in there while their horses and their cattle, firstborn, are fresh dead, and that represents their wealth, and they're going to be in such fear that when you knock on the door and you say, we've come for some, can we borrow some gold and silver and cloth? And they say, yeah, we know your God just killed the firstborn. You warned us. You told us it was going to happen, but we didn't believe it. Now our cattle, our sheep, our herd are dead. The firstborn are dead. My firstborn child, my husband who was firstborn is dead. Come in and get it and get out of town before we all die. You see, God, friend, now we got to talk clear about this. When we talk about Judas, we talk clear about Judas. When we're talking about how God got them the money, we have to talk clear and precise without parables about how God does things sometimes. And some people don't like it. They want to do away with the cross and the blood and the death and what happened in Egypt with the firstborn and how God killed the firstborn. But he gave them a warning first, said, you can put the blood over you, because he's not coming for the Israelites only to see if the blood's on their doors. He's coming anywhere the blood is over the doorpost. The angel just recognizes the blood, not whether an Egyptian or an Israelite lives there. The recognition is not Israelite or Egyptian. It's the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. And believe me, an angel can smell whether it's lamb blood or horse blood. It had to be a lamb's blood. You know why the Egyptians didn't put lamb blood on their doorposts? Because when you study about sheep herding and that kind of thing in Egypt, it was an abomination to them. Read it. It was an abomination to the Egyptians. We'll get into that some other time. Tonight, I want to connect for you something that you need to hear. Because some of you are not going to be blessed by financials. You're going to get, you may get a lot of money. You may win the lottery. You may have some big thing come in, but it's going to go right through your fingers like water. If you don't understand this and get this in your spirit tonight, this is huge, because this is the new thing, because God's, we're in the last days, and the last plague had to do with the plague coming to Israel. And you Israelis, you body of Christ, the church of the living God, if you don't activate and understand what's happening now, it will be taken from you, because God's not looking for an Israelite or a Christian to pass over. He's looking for a covenant person to pass over. Don't you forget that, and don't you think, well, I'm a Christian or I'm an Israelite. I don't have to put the blood. I've had a covenant with God for years. I don't know about the blood covenant. I ain't going to put mess up my front door by doing that. You would be dead, Israelite. Christians, you will be dead. Your money will die. Hear the word of the Lord. Are you listening? So we have the way God got them their money system, their money for their money system, was through that experience. It wasn't through that they all didn't just have a bunch of good business deals and win something in the market and then walk out with, maybe somebody inherited a bunch of money and they all divided it up and they all walked out with wealth and did some great business deals, and all of a sudden they cashed out and they walked out of Egypt. That's not how it happened. That would have been cute. That would have been wonderful, but that's not what happened. It was a bloody mess. The cross was a bloody mess. And your money is holy to God. You want to keep it? You want it to be covered? You want it to be protected? You better get it under the covenant of God and do what God says to do with it, or it will not be. I don't care whether it's $5 or $50 million and how safe you got it and how protected you got it. There ain't going to be no hedge around something that people that don't have a covenant with God. There's no hedge. The angel didn't look for hedges. The angel didn't look for safes that he couldn't bust through. No. Hear me out, saith the Spirit of God. Wake up, body of Christ. God's going to start speaking really plain. So here we have communion. They walked out and plundered Egypt with a bloody mess of dead people all over the place, walking into a house of dead people. Say, hey, can we have your money? Think about that. That's what happened. Wake up. Realize this wasn't just like some little cute little thing. Oh, can I borrow some money from you? And they walk in, and they've got the house all fixed up, and everybody's, all the kids come out and say, hey, you want some money? Yeah, come get some. And everybody's alive, everybody's fine, everybody's healthy. No, we've got dead people everywhere, dead animals everywhere, on each house, every house in Egypt, every house. It was a bloody mess. There was a cry in Egypt like never had been heard before. What was God doing? He was getting Israel their money. It's a holy thing to God, and don't ever think that it isn't, because it's a bloody mess to get it. You think your money just came to you because your daddy or your mama or your I taught you good business and you know how to do good business, or set you up with some good business and you have this thing going on, you got a good ministry going on, you got money coming. You better look back and find out. Israel had to look back and find out that they had to reset up their covenant with God, or they were going to lose everything, firstborn. So all this action happened. Now we're going to go right into the communion part and talk about the money just for a moment. It's in communion, the blood, the body of the Lamb was torn and slain. The blood was on the house. It wasn't just sprinkled around the dirt. No, they got it on their houses, on their homes that they were fixing to leave. It was messy. It was smelly. It was bloody. It was holy to God. The cry in Egypt was holy to God. But he said, I'm going to show you that if you will obey my covenant, I will protect you. I will keep you. And though you don't have a chance to get out of Egypt by any means, by any way, I'm coming to deliver you myself. And when you walk out, you're going to plunder Egypt, and it's going to be amazing. So when we take communion, one of the things we're celebrating is how God gets us our money and the fact that he gave us our money. If you have a hard time giving to God your tithe, and you're like, oh, God, you know, I really need this for something else. I only got $5, my $5, I need the $5 to buy gas. Because all I got is $5 left. If I pay my bill, I get $5 left. Having a hard time giving that $5 to God, friend, you know what? There's something going on inside your heart. And I pastored and ministered for many, many, many years, and it's something you deal with on a regular basis. Well, I need that, you know. I'm gonna give my tithe to God anyway, but you know, I really need that money. You know what? The Spirit of God is going to help us understand. That's why he says, when you're taking communion, to be honest with yourself, to examine yourself. When we give our money, it's a holy thing to God. We don't say, well, you know, I don't know. Well, you know, maybe I might, maybe I might. No, it's holy to God. And if you don't treat it like it's holy and give it with thanksgiving and a cheerful heart, it's just like communion. If you don't take communion and examine yourselves, and do I want to be free of the sin, and am I holy respecting this and having a holy reverence toward it and just eating it, you know, and just going on sinning and don't even think about my sin and don't even think about when to change, then, friend, it will make you sick. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. We're going to read it here in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, 24, 25, 26, and on down. It says, when you eat communion unworthily, it makes you sick. Well, when you give your money, friend, unworthily, with complaining
and a bad attitude and like, well, you know, I really need that $5 to buy gas. You know, God don't need my $5. It's not that God needs your $5, friend. It's what you're doing with what's holy to God. Your tithe is holy to God. You don't treat it like it's holy. Like, yeah, well, yeah, I do whatever I want. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I've done that before. Before I realized it, I've done it. Dealing with our money before God is like communion in the financial realm. It's going to affect your money. God says in 1 Corinthians, what is this? It says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly. Reluctantly means, yeah, you want to make your finances sick? You want your finances to die? Give reluctantly. I don't know anybody in PGN that gives reluctantly, so we're preaching to the choir here. But the Bible says in verse 7, do not give reluctantly or in an unwilling or hesitant way. Because when you give in an unwilling and an unhesitant way, it makes your money sick, and eventually your money will die on you. It's like with communion. It's very holy to God. It's all connected to communion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, having all sufficiency in all things at all times. You may abound in every good work, as it is written. Yeah. Don't give reluctantly or under compulsion. If you feel like you're under compulsion or being forced or obligated to give, then that's going to ruin your blessing. Your money is going to get sick if you're giving like you're being forced or you're obligated to do that. That's what it says in the scripture I just read. Not under compulsion, being forced or obligated. For God loves a cheerful giver. When you don't give cheerfully, friend, what happens is it makes your money sick. Just like when you don't examine yourself, when we don't examine ourselves before we take communion and say, yes, I just sinned 5 minutes ago, but I hate that sin. I want to get free of that sin. Please help me get rid of that sin. Then take communion and God will help you with it. It's not about being holy and perfect. It's just about are you examining yourself on do I really want to be free of this? When it comes to your giving, are you giving reluctantly? Well, if you are, okay. That's okay. Let's believe God in communion to change that. Reluctance to God, I lavish this on you. Thank you, Jesus, for the blessings you've given me. I give you glory, God. Oh, I'm not sorry for whining about my $5 that I need the $5 for gas. When God, I'm going to trust you. That's yours. That's your money. It's holy to you. Because, friend, when you don't treat it like that, God showed me this yesterday. It blew my mind. He said, Randy, you need to teach my people how to give, because if they're giving reluctantly, like they don't really want to do it, like it's, well, you know, I have an unwilling or hesitant way, that's what reluctance means, or under compulsion, like you're being forced or obligated, what that does is you're doing it under that spirit. You can take communion and ask God to help you change that part of your heart, because he wants to help you with it, friend. He knows that sometimes you go through that, just like I go through that. Sometimes you're going to be hesitant and unwilling. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're being forced and manipulated by people. I've done it. I've had the same experiences. I've had people come and take my tithe out of my hand without me giving them permission to do it. It made me mad. It almost ruined me. I've been there too, just like some of you, and I understand your heart and your heaviness. I understand completely, and I don't stand in judgment of anybody. I'm telling you today, communion, we're here to help you, to deliver you, to change your heart about your giving, so that when you give cheerfully, so that God can bless you. And you can have all sufficiency in all things at all times, that you may abound in every good work. I hope I made this clear tonight. You feel like you have to give your tithe, ask God to help you with that. I know sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes it's a struggle. Believe me, I know. I've struggled too at times. But you know what? When you give with that, you might as well just you're going to watch his finances get sick, just like when you don't do communion right and you come in arrogantly, pompously, you don't really care about getting rid of your sin or changing. You're just taking it because, you know, it's a thing. Then, like the Bible says, many of you get sick and many die. Do you want your finances to get sick and die? I don't think so. Spirit, are you giving up? I've given up the wrong spirit before. There's no condemnation here, friend. Ask God in communion tonight. Let's ask him to help us change so we will be a willing vessel. We're willing to confess our sins, and we're willing, instead of like, oh, God, you know, not, help me, Jesus, to want to not sin, want to not sin. There you go. Help me, Jesus. I need help with that. And help me to have a cheerful heart, because right now I don't. I'm suffering. I'm low. I need it $5. I give my tithe, I'm going to be broke. You're thinking like that. If that's what you're going through, friend, your finances are never going to go anywhere. You're going to stay broke the rest of your life. And if you have, you know, if God blesses you with the lottery, God bless you with the lottery. I'm saying the lottery because a lot of people talking about the lottery. I don't play the lottery myself, but some people do. And you say you win the lottery tomorrow. You win $10 million. You start thinking about, oh, well, that my tithe, I'm going to need my tithe. Well, that's going to be a real temptation. And everybody goes through it. But don't let it get you. Give it with a cheerful heart. Because if you don't, all that other millions you have left are going to just go right through your fingers. And that's why a lot of those people lose their money, because they don't give when they give to God. If they give to God at all, they end up letting the spirit of greed get all over them, and they end up losing all their money for this and that reason. People getting sick, having to do all of a sudden, and there went $3 million down the hole right there over that one thing. Why? Because there was no protection. There was no hedge around their money. In the season we're coming in, this last hour, the plagues, friend, let me tell you something. Let me just tell you right now that the plagues are coming near your front door. And if you don't have fresh covenant with God, if you're not walking in fresh covenant with God every day and walking with God every day and have that blood and that, and you're walking that blood covenant, friend, that angel of death will come in. You'll still go to heaven, but you're going to die early, and so will your money, and so will everything else around you, your purpose. So protect it by asking God to help you in communion tonight to change your heart about that. All right, are y'all ready for that tonight? I preached heavy and hard. Yes, I have. The Lord says we're going to start speaking plainly. And I didn't know how plain that was. I got most of this information about all this yesterday. Yesterday. Truly, truly, I stand to you. Yesterday. Yeah, I'm going, man, God, you are truly speaking plain. This is blowing my mind. Blowing my mind. That's for sure. All right, let's go here and take communion, friend, tonight. And if you have sin in your life, does that stop you from taking communion? No. Ask God to help you to want to get free of it, to want to get delivered of it. And if you just have that attitude, that's examining yourself. Examine yourself to see where your heart really is. Am I really enjoying the sin? If you're enjoying your sin and you don't want to quit doing it, then don't take communion. Because it will bring sickness on you. And eventually, the Bible says it will bring death on you. I'm fixing to read the scripture here in just a second, right out of the Bible. All right, let's lift it up. Join with me tonight. If you have sin in your life, and you're having struggles with it, I'm going to tell you something, friend. God wants to help you. He loves you. He has great compassion on you. In Jesus' name. He doesn't want you suffering with that. He doesn't want you to enjoy it, because it's the only thing you got going on. So how can I stop that when it's the only thing I've got going on? Right. It's difficult. But if you'll ask him tonight in communion and say, Dear Jesus, I want to take communion tonight. I want to be free of my sin. I want to be free of my bad attitude and my giving. I want to be free of hoarding what you've given to me. Sometimes I give, but I give out of a bad attitude. Help me with that, Jesus. All right, so let's lift up the bread tonight. And we thank you, Lamb of God, for Paul the Apostle said, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread,
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat. God, help me to want to be free. Help me to hate the issues that I have that cause me problems, that turn the stomach of God and other people. Help me, God, want to be free of that in this communion tonight. Help me when I give, because communion is connected to giving. It's connected to our money. It's connected to our money system and how God blesses us. Help me to have the right attitude when I give, God. Help me be cheerful. And we thank you, Jesus. Paul says after supper, in the same way, they took this cup, the new covenant, Jesus said, in my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Let's drink. And we thank you, precious, sweet Jesus, for your love, for your mercy. Let me read the rest of Scripture. It says, for as often as you eat it and drink it, this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord. Why the death? Until he comes. Because it's the provision. He wants us to focus on the provision only. Not the resurrection, but the provision of the death. There's a reason for that. I've had people right in the middle of communion Facebook me here on the show and say, what about the resurrection, Randy? I said, well, you don't understand communion. They haven't been taught. They haven't been taught it, so you can't blame them. I mean, they don't understand. They were rebuking me. Like I'm forgetting something. So we have to teach and, you know, explain. And it says, verse 27, it says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of, in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so he eats the bread and drinks the cup that for eating it and drinking the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have died. But if we judged ourselves, if we truly judged ourselves correctly, we would not be judged. That means examine yourself and ask God, you know, do I want to be free of the sin, or I'm just enjoying it and I don't plan on stopping it? If you don't plan on stopping it, friend, you're not looking for it, you don't want to desire to not do it, don't take communion. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not condemn, we not be condemned along with the world. Amen. Condemned with the world doesn't mean going to hell with the world. It means to condemned in a condemned world where our purposes and the blessing of God cannot come to us. It gets nullified, right? Even though you go to heaven, your blessings and your purpose does not come to pass because you end up in the condemnation realm along with the world. When you eat and drink, if anyone be hungry, let him, you know, at home, eat at home. So that's kind of a different thing there. But all right. I hope you're able to hear all that tonight. We're kind of getting down with some stuff lately. So get ready. We are going to just keep on seeking the Lord about all this. And he's going to show us how to get blessed and how to be blessed. We're going to be the most blessed people in the whole world. Yeah, I really believe that. Because we're going to take heed to the word of the Lord. We're going to realize how much communion has to do with giving our money, because the money and communion in the Old Testament, when they came out, all that Passover was all together in the same hour, you know, while the blood was, while the death was fresh in Egypt. You know, I know this sounds cruel. If you get your feelings hurt really easy, you know, you're not going to want to think about this, but you need to meditate on what the price that was paid for Israel to have their currency for their financial system. That's where it came from, out of that act, the death angel act. That's what the whole purpose of it was. They walked in there, said, can we have your money? They're going, yeah, get out of here, get it, take it and get out before we all die, or that money's not going to do us any good, right? We still have some of our family left. We still have a few cattle left, a few horses. We have a few things left.
But if it's all fixing to die next, yes, if we don't let you take the gold and silver, are we all going to die? They didn't even ask that question because they weren't stupid anymore. The firstborn was a sharp, and that's why they go, yes, take it and get out of town. And God got them out of town in a very, in a manner that was not appealing to most people who don't understand how God does things when it's time. Yeah. So we're going to start speaking really plain, y'all. I hope you're ready for it. So get ready. God is blessing. People are being blessed. Things are happening. It's really cool. I got some great testimonies from last night. I have words this week. They're really cool. Chris from Texas, he called in, and I started giving him this word. And I didn't see the text until today, but he sent me a text during the prophetic word. And he said, I was given something to him about a four-wheel, like, you know, four-wheel driver, like four-wheel driving car, truck or something. And I didn't know what I was talking about. I kept saying, you know, like four, like a, I don't remember exactly what I said, but anyway, he says it's funny because I was prophesying over his land and his property and his family and his house. He said, it's funny. He texted to me as I was prophesying to him. He says, it's funny because I'm driving home from my land, prophesying over his land at that moment. I didn't know he was on the land. He said, and I recently bought my four-wheel drive vehicle, and it was in the land that I recently bought in my four-wheel drive vehicle, which I was talking about. Like, I kept thinking, like, I was saying something like four-wheel drive. It was just a word that was kind of crazy. I didn't know what I was saying. He said he was literally on his land that I was praying over, and driving home in his four-wheel drive vehicle, because part of the word had to do something like that, you know. And so it was pretty cool. So it's pretty cool how God's speaking about different things and getting people to realize that God is speaking to them about things. So awesome. All right. Okay. All right, let's go here. And let's be taking communion. We thank you, Jesus, for I speak healing over oppression. I speak healing over finances, financials that have been sick because maybe you haven't been a cheerful giver or you've been feeling obligated to give, like the scripture says to be, to not be obligated, feel obligated, or to feel, like you have to do it. What's that called? Reluctance. Reluctance means to give in a way like you really don't want to do it, right? Reluctance means in an unwilling or hesitant way or under compulsion, being forced or obligated. If you're feeling those things tonight, your finances have been sick. They may not be dead, but they've been sick. And that's the reason why. And that's why I'm opening it up to you and knowing and telling you I've had the same issues myself and I understand them. Money is a real thing that we deal with. And it's very difficult. So there's no judgment coming from me. I'm speaking to you the word of the Lord and things that I've learned, right? If you're not giving cheerfully because you want to, especially when it comes to your tithe, offerings are also the same way, but you don't have to, the tithe belongs to God, but the offering, that's something you can choose to give. So the tithe is something if you're giving it like you don't really want to do it, you have to do it, until you get the revelation of it, that's how you're going to feel. You're going to battle with that. So to turn that around, God's going to give you revelation on how to give your money and what happens when you do. Because if you've been given unwillingly and uncheerfully, believe it or not, it's making your money sick, just like communion. When you don't understand what you're doing in communion, if you've been told and taught right and you're still having that, your money's going to be sick. So are you going to be sick taking communion without wanting to be free from your sin and wanting to be free from those issues. Yeah. So it's really cool how God's going to teach us and show us so that you can get into the full blessing of the Lord
Your prosperity, your financial prosperity has everything to do with communion. It's all connected, as was revealed in Exodus, in Egypt, when God powerfully and bloodily delivered Israel out of a bloody Egypt. Yeah, let's thank you, Lord, for healing finances. I thank you for raising. I speak to some people's finances that have been dead. I'm declaring that your finances be raised from the dead as you give and do what you do scripturally with cheerfulness in Jesus' name. And God opens you up to how to give, the spirit of giving, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's why God was a good giver. He loved, even when he gave to sinners who didn't appreciate him, he still gave willingly. Jesus gave his life willingly and lovingly, and he wanted to give his life once he yielded to Gethsemane. He yielded. Then it turned into the want to. If he'd have done that unwillingly, it would have not done. It would have been sin, really. It would have been sin. And Jesus was not a sinner. So he gave willingly. If you're doing things unwilling, then it opens you up to sin, and sin opens you up to disease of your finances, disease of your life. And but Jesus has come to cleanse us and wash us of that, and forgive us and set us up on high again. So be healed. I speak resurrection to your finances. I speak healing to your finances tonight. But mainly I speak healing to your heart, that if you don't understand how to give, how to take communion, that God will show you and give you a cheerful heart and a heart to give to God without being reluctant or obligated. In Jesus' name, you give cheerfully. May God bless you with a cheerful heart in your giving. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. Okay, let's pray over offerings tonight. Thank you, everybody, for giving. It's been a great week. People give all week long, and we're so thankful for everybody giving. Thank you, Jesus, for our givers and those that give unto you, Jesus. We give you the glory for all of it. In Jesus' name. Here we go. Let me add a few here so I will have it all in order. So give me just a moment as I get some of the new offerings that have just come in the last few minutes. Okay. Y'all, give me just a minute here. Thank you. I'm working on this. Think about God it here. If I miss anybody tonight, let me know. Hallelujah. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea, for the information you sent me this week. I appreciate that. Hallelujah for that information about those people. Praise God. Building fund, $5 for Andrea. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for the anointing to satisfy the Lord and the completion of things, that God show you how to complete things. The completion of things. You said it pleased the Father that for him to complete things. Sometimes things try to hinder us. So there's a hindrance in the completion of things, whether it be, a payment on something that somebody owes you or whatever the situation, or just the finishing up of anything that God has us doing. The hindrance that the enemy knows he can hinder you from finishing, he doesn't really hinder you from starting too much. but he will try to hinder you from finishing, especially because finishing is what finishes it. It's like Jesus going almost all the way to the cross and then not finishing. You know, when he said it was finished, that was a complete job. The payment was completely made. So our obedience to God is the payment, if you will. When God tells us to do something, the finishing of it is the final payment, if you will, of a thing. And though Christ has already paid for everything, but when Jesus tells us to do something, when he's telling us to do stuff, and we finish it, it's like that's where our obedience is complete, and it's like on Jesus Christ said, it is finished. In other words, he didn't quit at the whipping post. You know, he made it to the cross, and that was the final point of payment. And so anything, anyway, God, the enemy's trying to hinder you from finishing things, or things trying to be finished for you, like what he's having you do, you know, God's going to show you how to take authority over that, so that just like Jesus, I think everything was trying to hinder him from, you know, being crucified, and yet the devil didn't know what he was doing by crucifying Jesus. So the devil wanted him crucified, but it was a big thing, and most people thought he would die before he ever got there, and that would have not finished the process, and the payment would not have been final. So our obedience in finishing is the final payment, and that's what releases the blessing of obedience from our obedience to God. Now, if we're doing it on our own, there's no payment of any kind. We might as well just be, you know, it's just horrible. But when we're doing something God says, it's about payment, because when he tells us to do it, he gives us the strength, the ability, the power to do it, and finishing it is the final payment. Anyway, I think I've said that plenty good. I've never thought about that before, but that's really awesome. Right. Mahogany from Texas, $5 building fund. Thank you, Mahogany, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for setting her on a path, God, that any unnecessary battles and struggles, God, show her how to eliminate unnecessary battles, unnecessary struggles, the things that we stir up ourselves that we don't realize we're doing it, that sometimes we stir up persecution, what we call it persecution, when it's not really persecution, it's that we're stirring stuff up, and we don't even know we're stirring it up, but we're stirring it up, and we're causing ourselves problems. Other times, you know, we're just obeying God, and there's true persecution. So God's showing you the difference between, you know, how to obey the Lord and to do what he says, because when you do extra or not enough, or you're doing things on your own, you know, it stirs up trouble. We can provoke people to wrath against us, and it's something that God had nothing to do with. You know, in other words, we did that on our own. And we all do that. I've done it many times, provoked a lot of things by saying things I shouldn't have said, doing things I shouldn't have done, sometimes trying to help God out too much, you know, trying to save people. And God says, I don't want you to save them, Randy. I want them to go through this. I don't want them to take them out. I want to take them through. Oh, God, I was trying to help take them out. No, I want to take them through it. So there's things that we do, and so God's going to show you in every area, in the financial area, in every area, social area, in our prayer life, everything. Sometimes we take authority over things that we have no right to take authority over, because if God's not telling you to do it, we just don't blast off and say and pray anything we want. We pray as the Holy Spirit leads us. And if you and I start praying outside the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we're stirring up things, and it's going to cause us problems. So our prayers become totally submissive to the Lord, Mahogany, so that we don't stir up things and end up spending all of our time wearing ourselves out, fighting things, because we decided we wanted something to be done, and we did it, prayed it our own way. We're binding devils, and we're loose things, and we're stirring up stuff on things where we have no authority. Well, we have all authority in Christ Jesus. People tell me that all the time. No, you don't. You don't have authority over nothing, man. Unless God tells you, if God's not telling you to mess with that devil, you don't mess with that devil. Oh, I can mess with any devil I want to, Randy. I got freedom. Oh, yeah. You really need to read your Bible. You know, we obey God and do what God tells us to do when he tells us to do it. If he tells us to go out to a city, take the city, then you can do whatever you want to over the whole city. But if he tells you to go to one person in one house, then you go to that one person in one house. That's the only place you have authority over. You see what I'm saying? And so we're going to learn that, because we stir up things, and it causes us problems. And so when we walk in God, then we have authority. And that's why sometimes prayers don't get answered, is because we're praying on our own. All, you know, it's just something the whole body of Christ is dealing with. Believe me, it's really big, huge for all of us. All right, Maureen, $5. Thank you, Maureen, for that $5. bless you with that. Thank you, Jesus, for Marie. God, I thank you for opening her heart to God wants to show you just how much he wants to love you, Marie. You know, we think we're supposed to always love God, but the Bible says he first loved us. First love is he first loved us, right? So as we enter back into he first loved us, to the first love, then we can love in a way God wants us to love. And how that has to happen, Maureen, is God loves us. We think we get, you know, I am really bad about this. I'm always wanting to make sure I love God. I love God. I love God. God says, you know what, Randy, you can't even love me unless you let me love you first. Let me love you. That's not just a one-time thing when we get saved. It's a regular thing where we get up in his lap and let him hold us, let him protect us, he wants to show us his love. And if we don't let him love us, instead of always trying to love him and let him love us, then the love he loves us with is the love that we love with. So when we start running dry on love, it's because one reason, we're not letting God love us. God is always talking to me about this, Maureen, all the time, because I'm performance oriented. I'm ready to get it done. I'm ready to go forth and do it. And I used to be really bad about that. And Laura says, Randy, let me love you. You got to let me love you. I want to love you. Let me love you. For God so loved the world. Sometimes we don't think we're worthy of his love. That's why we don't let him love us. We think by loving him, somehow we'll earn his love. He says, no, you can't even love me without letting me love you first. Wow. How many times God's spoken to me about that, Maureen? That is a blessing, God saying that to you, showing you how to keep your heart full of love and nurturing. And that way you can have love to love others, and people will be drawn to you too, because they're drawn to love, God's love. Bianca, $7. God bless you, Bianca. Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for Bianca. I thank you, Lord, for her love life, God, you're going to create a network of love for her, of people that that will love her, not just always her about her loving everybody, but people coming back to give back that love. Covenant love is a love when you love somebody, Bianca, that they love you back. And so God's, you know, we always have people that draw love out of us and want love and need love and not able to give it back for whatever reason. But there are people out there that God has that when you love them, they're going to love you back. Just like we talked about with Maureen, about letting God love us allows us to love him back and to love others. So God bringing you friends, a network of people in different ways that will love you. And when you love them, they're going to love you back. When they love you, you're going to love them back. And that creates a bond. A bond of love is love that is given back and forth. You're not being drained all the time. And so God is wanting to pour that into you in Jesus' name and open you up to the spirit of freedom and able to give love to people who don't deserve it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That undeserving, unmerited favor and love. Because Bianca, God's favored you. He's given you favor. And as you receive that favor, he wants you to give that favor to others. Favoring people. It's like Jacob favored Joseph. Why did he favor Joseph? Well, number one, it was a God thing. Just to show you how this works. And God had Jacob to favor his son above all his other sons. That doesn't look right in the natural realm, but it's what God did. Why did he do that? Because God was showing Joseph a special favor because he was going to be favored all of his life. Well, not all of his life, right? But he was favored. He was rejected a lot. People who are favored get rejected a lot because people get jealous over that. It's like me with Joseph. I got jealous. And God teaching you why to be able to receive the favor of God so that you can give that favor. And eventually, Joseph gave favor to the whole world. He fed the whole world. The Bible says the whole world from every nation, every country came to Egypt. because the famine was that bad. Yeah. In Jesus' name. So God's going to show you about the favor room. Amen. Sally, $7. Thank you, Sally, from the UK, London. Amen. Good to have you. In Jesus' name, I see a spike of light. A spike of light, whatever that is. I don't know what a spike is. It's a spike. A spike of light. Let me look here. Hang on a second. A spike of light. We're fixing to find out what a spike of light is. Okay. Never heard of that before. Google it. Spike of light. It's taking me to lighting for TV and television. I have some of those spike lights, by the way. Or that's what they call it, I guess. Interesting. Okay, a spike light. Okay, so it actually is a spike light fixture. Interesting. Spike light fixture. Wow. Interesting. I need something here. Okay, so a spike light. Okay. All right. So what I keep seeing is like a spike light is something that focuses on you personally. Like you have a spike light. This is the way I'm seeing this. A spike light is like it's a light that just to shine on you, not around you, not on other people. It's not a big light to shine on everything, but a light that shines on you. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, Jesus. So God is going to shine the light on you, Sally. He's going to shine the light on you. In other words, he's going to show you that his light is shining on you, that he's watching over you, that his light is like, you know, he's going to reveal you. He's going to show you, like he's showing you off to, you know, the heavenly host or the angels or maybe the angels around you. I don't know exactly what that is. But it's like the light is being shined on you specifically. Not your whole family, not your friends, but you. Very specifically, the light of God is shining on you to show you you and to show others you and to show who you are and what God has made you and what you're created for. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for that spike light. What a word, spike light. And it's like a very focused light for you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for that. In the name of the Lord, I see your light. I see your face like shining because that spike light is shining on you, on your face, and it's like your face-to-face relationship with God, your ability to speak plainly to God, to speak to him, to talk to him clearly, face-to-face, very, very powerful, and like a face-to-face thing because your face is shining, of course, the face of God, and when the face of Moses shined when he came down off, so there was a spike light basically on Moses' face. Because it said his face shined. Now I'm getting all this. This is amazing. So the glory of God's on you, girl. That's what's happening. God's shining his light. I see him, you know, and Moses had that spike light on him or that light on his face, shining, that he had put a veil over his face. It was on his face, not his whole body, I don't guess, but his face, right? And this face-to-face thing with God, showing you, opening you up to that and showing it to you and blessing you with that and causing you to know that God's called you to that. Amen, amen. Wow, that was very interesting. I didn't know where that one was going, for sure. All right, Anya, $7. Thank you, Anya, from Maine. Thank you, Lord, for Maine. And Jesus, thank you, Lord, for Maine. You hear me say, thank you, Lord, for Maine. All right, so there's something going on. God is wanting you to rise up to the occasion, Anya, of Maine, the state of Maine, the state of Maine, the Maine state. God wants to make Maine a main state. And he wants you to rise up in the spirit and begin to realize that he's called you to the state of Maine, you know, the state Maine, M-A-I-N-E. And he's called you to that. And he wants you to know that he's been training you, teaching you how to work with, you know, angels and atmosphere and that kind of thing because of the how he's raising you up for you know, I think he's asked other people to do this. I'm not sure. I don't know if they refused or just didn't understand or didn't know what was going on, but he's calling you to be a watchman on you over Maine, over the state of Maine, to make Maine a Maine state. You know, the play on words there. Yeah. To focus on Maine, to get God's attention on Maine. That's the state you live in. Right. And to make it a Maine, the Maine thing. Yeah, an important thing. To break off the, you know, whatever God tells you to break off of it as he gives you the authority to do it. People think they just take authority over any demon, over every principality and power they want to. You don't take authority. We don't take authority over everything, have authority over anything until God specifically gives it to us. Because sometimes God lets the enemy do things in things like the children of Israel couldn't enter into the land of Canaan until their iniquities came full, until their iniquity cup of iniquity was full. They couldn't even enter into it. So the enemy, God uses the enemy to let their cup become full. So sometimes he says, you're taking authority over something that I've got them working on something. So leave them alone. The cup of iniquity is getting full so that I can judge it or change it. When God comes to, when the cup of iniquity is full, then he can judge it and be taken over by, you know, by Israel. Like Israel couldn't take over Canaan until the cup of iniquity was full. You see what I'm saying? So God's really going to show you that and have you pray over that. And wow, what a word. I mean, it's like God's giving you a, I don't know if you already have that commission or not, but God's stirring it up with you, girl. Are you listening? Yeah. Yeah, over the state of Maine. And awesome, man. Absolutely awesome. And I want to make very plain tonight that, you know, about the communion thing we talked about last night. If you've been sick or you have an issue, I have a lung thing that I'm still working on. You hear me coughing sometimes? I've had that for 10 years. And so I have an issue, and I'm taking communion, and I don't think God's trying to, you know, he's not making me sick because I'm taking communion because I got something going on. So if you've been sick and you took that word last night as like you're sick because you're taking communion, you have some problem, I didn't say that. I'm not saying that. Nobody's asked me about that, but I feel like I need to let you know. You know, there's things I'm still believing God to be healed of in my lungs. So, you know, so let God weed out for you all that information so you don't take condemnation under that. All right. So God's just opening up a whole other realm. And this is another thing too. God's not going to hold people accountable for things that they haven't been taught. You see what I'm saying? If you haven't been taught things, then if you haven't been taught communion correctly, then communion is not powerful to you. It's not real. It's just a symbol. It's not real, right? But when you get taught correctly, then you become accountable for it. Then if you keep doing it against the will of God, against the warning that's given, then we enter into a whole different phase. So God doesn't hold us accountable for something that we haven't had knowledge on. So don't let the enemy condemn you, whoever that is tonight. All right. All right, Anya Nicole from D.C. Thank you, Nicole, for that 777. Thank you, Lord, for opening up power, the power of delivery in Jesus' name. And hang on a second. Okay, hang on a minute here. Nicole, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Nicole. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for the regeneration also. Like there's something, the regeneration power of God is working with you. And you might do a research on regeneration in the Bible. I did a little bit of that. I think I gave a word one night to, seemed like it was Donald and Tanya about regeneration. A very powerful word. And, you know, I've never given a word like that before that I know of before them. So I'm hearing that about you, like the spirit of regeneration, and study regeneration. And then God will open up the spirit of regeneration. I know there's some in the New Testament, but look at the scripture. Hang on, let me just look it up for you real quick. Okay. Well, I can't seem to find a specific scripture, but it's about the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Bible Hub. I know the scripture talks specifically about the regeneration, power of the Holy Spirit. You might look that up. And just look that up. So regeneration means, I don't know if it has something to do with generational things. But you might check that out and see what the Lord has to say about that. Because I think there's something very powerful about that God's going to show you, regeneration, because that's just what I'm getting my spirit for you. Yeah. Yeah. God's going to give you a collection of information about, generational things and, to unlock those and expose them and, to let people know, what's going on. Yeah, so it's really, really big, big, big. Regeneration is a big word. So let God show you, and to complete what He started in you, get the ball rolling. Okay, Anya says yes. I've been commending the host of heaven to go and expose every hidden thing of the enemy in the state of Maine for the next 10 days. How really? You mean the Lord already told you to do this? The state of Maine for the next 10 days? He'd already told you that? That's a mind-boggling. Anya just told me the word I just gave her about. See, I've never given her a word out of the state. We always talk about different things. The Lord said different. And tonight he said, when I said Anya from Maine, which I never, many times I don't even say that, Maine just exploded inside me, and so he took me there, and then she's telling me that the Lord had already told her. Yeah. Wow. That is awesome, young lady. That's amazing. Well, we'll be agreeing with you for the next 10 days, huh? Wow. Let's pray with Anya about the state of Maine, Not only just the state, like it's a state, but the state of it, the condition of it. Because that's what I kept thinking when I was talking to you, Anya, was about the state of Maine. Not necessarily that it's a state like New York's a state, like Texas' a state, but, the condition of it. Play on words with me on that and takes me places. So it's really cool. All right, Nicole, regeneration. Hallelujah. Get it. I don't know where that's going to go, but I have a feeling it's going to be really cool. All right, Shalonda, $10. God bless you, Shalonda. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just speak God over her, God's creative ability is creating in you, he wants to break I was called the everydayness of certain thought processes that we go through, just about God, about prayer and all that. I see God breaking into your soul, into your imagination, into your mind, breaking in there like some kind of a breakthrough, and just putting creative thoughts in you about all kinds of new things, and really kind of like a prophetic creative thing going on inside your mind, and God opening that up so you can, because when God does a creative thing, creative things always break us out of the box that we're in, that we get locked up in a box of, in our everyday life. I do, this the same old thing every day, basically, in certain areas. And then all of a sudden God breaks through and boom, gives you an understanding of something and takes you in a whole different place, a whole different realm. Yeah, I see that happen to you. That's amazing. That's awesome. You're doing something right, girl. God bless you on that. Angela Lanham from South Carolina, $10. Thank you, Angela. Hallelujah. Bless you in Jesus' name. May God confides in you. God's going to confide in you His secrets. He's confiding in you secrets, and He's going to test you with secrets and, see how you handle them and see, when God gives me secrets, man, I go all over the place. I'm like going, oh my God, what do I do with this? Oh, this is amazing. It's like a little kid in the candy store. Like God trusted me with a secret, just like I thought the DNA the whole system of the DNA being the from the Antichrist for our for the mark of the beast. I thought that was I've never heard anybody talk about that before. I thought, you know, I got the market on that one. And as far as just, you know, it's a first time word, and God shared his secret with me until I found out it wasn't really true. But so it was really amazing that you know, God wants to show his secrets to you. You know, and it may be a secret he shared with somebody else, but they maybe kept it to themselves. Maybe they're supposed to or something. And God wants to show you those secrets so you can know things, so you can you know, get into the secret place of the Most High God. The secret place is a lot different than a lot of people think of it. Gary and Mary, $18. Building fund, thank you. And other people had building fund too, I think. Did I sell that? I think I did. If I missed the building fund thing, let me know. Gary and Mary, all right, $18, building fund. Corinthians is our scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him, God, are we in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Yeah. But of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Wow, that's some heavy stuff. Yeah. Because when God gives you wisdom, wisdom is all those things. It's a matter of wisdom. You know, God reveals his righteousness through his wisdom, and it sets you apart. Wisdom sets you apart. And the redemption and the redeeming power. Okay, Angela was building fund. Okay, thank you, Angela. Thank you for that. Yes, Angela, let me put that on there so I don't forget. Because we try to keep up with all this. As y'all know, building fund. All right. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Amen. And that redemption, the redemption is the buying back, is you know, the that we've been bought back. We've been bought back. And that's what communion does too, is, you know, it's all about that we've been bought back. And thank you, Jesus, that through, but of God are we in Christ Jesus, you know, who God is made unto us wisdom. Yeah. Hallelujah. Wow, in Jesus' name. Set us apart, God. Set us apart. God is about to do the thing of cleansing and washing, sanctification, and setting us apart, Gary. I mean, this is what I'm hearing right now. This whole thing about one of the facets of one of the ways that he's showing me about cleansing us is through the revelation about communion and about, you know, about cleansing us from things that we've just gotten used to and don't even know it. And so, you know, setting us apart. He's setting us apart from the world so that he can, just like he did Israel, so he can show them, this is my people. They're not going to wonder, are you God's people or not God's people? I can't really tell. No, they're going to go, oh, you're sanctified. They're sanctification. You've been set apart. These are God's people. It's going to bring a lot of hatred. It's going to bring a lot of love. It's going to bring a lot of blessings. It's going to bring a lot of warfare. Yeah, but it's going to be amazing because he's setting us apart to make it clear, speaking clearly about who his people are. And that's one thing that I see, you know, God doing with you guys, doing with you, Gary, is speaking clearly who God's people are, to identifying them. Just like the Antichrist is going to be revealed, God also is going to reveal who his people are. And that's part of your calling, part of your job, part of the thing you do that God uses you to do. And the calling you have is to reveal, you know, the living Christ, right? And, of course, when the living Christ is revealed, you know, the Antichrist is revealed too. But so as your job that God's giving you to reveal who Israel is, who the body of Christ is, who the church is, who, you know, Israel is, and how all that works together, we'll get an understanding of, you know, who we are in Christ Jesus. He's building a tabernacle of Jews and Gentiles. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the most amazing tabernacle of ever. It's going to, you know, yeah, have compassion for the whole world and love the whole world. Yeah. All right. And Mary, Lord, we thank you for Mary tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her heart. We've given you, I see God giving you a new heart. Mary, like a new heart, like a new heart for things, the things that you didn't have a heart for before, because God didn't give you a heart for them, a heart for certain groups, a heart for certain things, a heart, you know. So, I mean, we all have hearts from God, but sometimes God doesn't give me a burden for a certain thing or a heart for a certain thing, and then all of a sudden he's opening my heart up for the poor and the needy. He's opening my heart up for Israel. He's opening my heart up for, you know, so some people don't have burdens for certain things because God hasn't given them a burden. We got to realize that some people don't have a burden for things that God hasn't given them. So we need to let that go and go, you know, I used to see, watch missionaries because they had a burden for Africa or whatever, that they made it everybody feel like they were a heathen because they didn't have a burden for Africa. You know, I mean, it made me mad, really, and I got angry about it. You know, who these people are? So they took their burden and hit people over the head with it. And so they realize sometimes God does give people, you know, if he gives you a burden for Africa, you got a burden for Africa. If he gives you a burden for, not for Africa, but for New York, you got a burden for New York. You know, that's it. That's what he does. So we can, if we try to be burdened for everybody and everything, we're not effective. So when God gives us a burden for something, he gives it to us. So I see him giving you a new heart for new burdens for things in Jesus' name. And, you know, yeah, a people within a people within a people. That's what I keep hearing the Lord say, Mary. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Okay. All right. Karen, $20. Thank you, Karen, for that 20. I don't know if that's, I don't think it's building fund, but thank you for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for caring. Thank you for watching over her and showing her, revealing to Karen, God, that whether people love us or not, we need to be loved by people. God wants people to love us. We're supposed to love each other. It's very important to be loved by another human being. But you know what? We go through these things like many men of God have gone through, many women of God have gone through. Leah went through it where her own husband didn't love her, you know, because, number one, she was the trick that her trickster father used to get Joseph, Jacob, to work for him for a few more years because he was so blessed. So she was part of the trickster thing. So she was put in the middle of something that she had nothing to do with, that created her all these problems. And God goes, you know, and if you read it, you go read about Leah, Jacob's trickster wife. She wasn't the trickster, but her father tricked her and put her, made a trickster situation out of her. It was deceitful. And she was part of that. And yet God had great compassion on her and said, well, because Jacob doesn't love you, Leah, I'm going to love you. And so I see God really showing you that. And God's love really loving you and also causing people to love you too. But mainly to know that just like with Leah, he said, because your husband doesn't love you, you know, Jacob doesn't love you, I'm going to love you. And she bore the tribe of Judah, which bore the tribe of Christ, which was the honor of honors, right? She bore for Judah. Leah brought forth Judah. Judah was the tribe of Jesus. So there's something there, God's birthing in you, something powerful. And, yeah, so amen, amen, and amen. In Jesus' name. Okay, Jeannie, $20. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for setting things apart. God is setting apart. He's setting things apart. I see God, like, narrowing down the field of things where it's like narrowing down the choice from, like, you know, 10 things to, you know, two things, something like that, breaking it down, you know, to where, you know, when you choose, it's not like, oh, man, I got 10 things to choose from. Well, that's really a blessing to have that. But to bring it down to two things and, you know, like make it simpler, easier. And I see him doing it with a lot of things where the choice is, you know, easier or something or more plain or more less confusing, less difficult to deal with. Yeah, so in Jesus' name. And God's showing you how to pick the best of the best. You know, showing you, you know, like I know you're trying to buy property and that kind of thing, but how to find the best property. Who knows what property is? You got dirt and trees and land. But, you know, it has an atmosphere to it. God knows there's a blessing on that when everybody else will be blinded to the blessing of it. It may look cheaper. It may be selling cheaper. But there's a blessing of God on it that's hidden. Because God doesn't want it to go for a lot of money, so to speak. So he hides the value of it, hides the, you know, the beauty of it so that it can't be seen except for somebody like you. So God's going to open you up to the beauty of a thing And it's not just land and property, but it's just one of the things that I'm thinking about. Also choosing, you know, things to do and people to deal with, and you know, like you're going to write a song. That what song do I put on here? What do I do? You know, what's the blessed song? And God's showing you, you know, showing you the quality things, the things that is, because God's going to hide things from the world, Jeannie, that they can't see. And if God opens your, as God has your eyes open, you're going to be able to see things they can't see, because God wants it hidden. So they won't get it or pick it, but you will. And when you get in there, it's like Israel. Israel, you go to Israel, Israel's not like the land of the living. I mean, it's like, well, I got rocks everywhere. And like, you know, it doesn't look like much, really. It doesn't look like much at all. I've been there. I'm going, this is it? Man, my gosh. This rocky, you know, but man, God chose it and ended up being a blessing. And now, you know, the wealth of ideas and the riches and the food and the flowers and all the things that they have. He's made it a Garden of Eden, but it doesn't look like a Garden of Eden when you look at it. It does not. Beautiful in its own way, but it's not beautiful like you would think. Only God would choose say that place is beautiful in a sense. And then, of course, now they're making it beautiful because it was a hidden beauty. All right, in many ways. All right. Chris, $20. Chris, your testimony. I don't know, are you on the show tonight? I wanted to ask you, I can't remember what I was saying about the, when I was praying for you about the, because you mentioned about you're in your four-wheeler. I remember I was saying something. I can't remember what I was saying. A 4x4. What was I saying? I don't remember. Maybe you can text it to me. But you said that when you were literally on the land when I was prophesying to you. Okay, don't read this out loud. Okay. Okay. Okay, Jeannie, I got that. I just saw your word there. Wow. Okay. Interesting. We're going to pray over that. Pray with you over that. I think you might have mentioned something like that before in a text. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. God's going to shut all the doors. And yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Chris. So I guess, I don't know if Chris is listening right now. Not some people listen to the show the next day. But, okay, Chris, I don't know if you're on or not, but I don't think you are. Okay, so anyway, so God is just confirming to you, bro, that he's watching over you. I mean, you were literally on the land when I was praying over you. And, okay, here we go. I was driving home from my land in my four-wheel drive truck. But what was I saying? That was saying something about, do you remember the word about, I was praying over your land, I think, at the time, was I? I don't really remember. I can't remember all that. But was I saying something about, I kept making some comment about, I wasn't saying about a four-wheel drive, but what was I saying? You remember? Maybe you don't remember. I have to go back and listen to it because it was kind of confusing to me. But you were saying something about driving to thrive. Okay. Yeah, driving to thrive. That's right. Okay, now I remember. Thank you. Yeah. Driving to thrive and thriving to drive. And, yeah, now remember that. Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, driving to thrive and in the thrive drive or something like that. Driving to drive and drive. And yeah. Well, I have to go back and listen to it. But anyway, so, you know, God's really showing you that he's, you know, what's happening is he's starting to show you the timing thing of like, you know, like you just happened to be, you know, you're coming from the land. I was praying over the land and was saying something about the drive, driving to thrive. And you were driving in your four-wheel drive coming back from the property. And so what that was saying that I saw was that the timing of God speaking to you, watching over, letting you know that he knows, you know, the timing of things, like, you know, it was actually happening as when we were praying over you, all that was actually happening. And so it's like you're going to start seeing things start actually happening as God speaks. Like sometimes, like I got a word about a terrorist attack in Lebanon, way back in the 80s, I was in a little church meeting, and I got the name of the person, and it was actually going on. It was actually going on that very moment. The explosion that killed those people, first and last name of, which I thought it was two different names, ended up being George Otis. George Otis' radio station was being attacked in Lebanon at the very moment that I was, you see what I'm saying? So that's when, you know, that was showing me at that time that my spirit was lined up with timing. In other words, I didn't get it 5 days later, 6 days later, or whatever. I was getting it as it was happening. And so it started opening me up to the timing of the Lord and the fact that he was showing me that I was connected to his timing. And when things were actually going on in another part of the world, all the way in Lebanon. This came on the news the very next day. And the reason we knew it was him, because the God gave me his first and last name. And nobody knew this was going on. This was a terrorist attack that was hidden. Nobody knew about. And I was getting, because when I gave the word, I was saying to the people right there, room, that I said, I feel like I'm in a foxhole in a war zone. I mean, it's like I was there. And it was happening as I was there. Early in the morning, it was, you know, in Lebanon, it's like, it's about 8 hours different. I think it was like 8 or 9 o'clock when I was praying that prayer. And the whole thing was, it was all happening as I was getting it. You see what I'm saying? And God's showing you that that's going on with you, the connection of timing and things happening, like he's showing, you know, right now. It's going on in Lebanon. It's going on Christmas, you know, over that property right now. Come back and it's thriving to drive, the drive thrive, the thrive drive. You know, the four-wheel drive, you know, basically. I didn't say four-wheel drive, but, you know, it's like I can see why you text me that, because that kind of, you know, he was letting you know the timing issue, how he's connected, watching over. And this is like a live show, right now. It's like he's showing you, Chris, he's a live show. He's not something recorded and then played 5 months later. He's showing you, this is live, man, live. God is live with you. It's a live thing. Yeah, and that's all I can say about that. You mentioned four-wheel drive as well. I did? Okay, I couldn't remember, honest to God. I could not remember, because I remember that was a very unusual word. Okay, so that's why you mentioned that you were, because in your text you were saying, yeah, and you were in your four. You didn't just say you were in your truck. You said you were in a four-wheel drive truck. So I thought I remember saying something about a four-wheel drive, but I couldn't remember because it got come so fast. So yeah. So here's Chris's text, y'all. Just kind of show you how God's doing things. I was prophesying to him at 10:23 p.m. or so, 10:15, and he texted me right then. He said, "It's funny because I'm driving home from the land I recently bought, four-wheel drive vehicle." And he says right now, he said, yeah, you were even mentioned four-wheel drive as well, and praying over his land and property and blessing, and yeah. So the whole thing of that is, it's like the Lebanon word that I got. I mean, I was in Texas. That was in Lebanon. It's right there by, pretty close to Israel, that I drove there from the lake of the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias, to, you know, the drivers came picking me up. They drove us to Lebanon, which I don't remember, is 20 minutes away. I can't remember how far it was. But, yeah. And so when I was in Texas, I got the word of knowledge about that going on. And it was actually going on when it was going on. That's kind of God showing you about the Lebanon thing. I was in Texas, and he showed me it was actually happening. That attack was going on right then. The terrorist was heading toward the security guard from that Christian television station. They hated Christian television or radio, the radio station. And the security officer shot the terrorist because he wouldn't stop. And when he shot him, the explosives blew up the place and blew it all up, except the tower and the microwave in the tower, whatever the antennas and stuff. Yeah, killed people. It was amazing. And I was actually getting that. Yeah, so that's the connection to that. God's trying to set you up and show you, you know, that you're connected to that. You are connected to that in that kind of way by the Spirit of God. So, interesting, very interesting. Thanks for sharing that, dude. I would have never known. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. I couldn't figure out why I was talking about thrive to drive and drive thrive, and I kept, just like it was some kind of rhythmic thing going on. So, hallelujah. That's great. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's see what else he has to say. He said God was opening up the heavens, and I just seeded almost 40 acres with grass for cattle. Oh, my gosh. I know what it's like to seed 40 acres. I've done the same thing. You just seeded 40 acres with grass for cattle. Oh, my gosh. And was I talking, what was I praying? Was I praying over land and that kind of thing, too, when I prayed over your land, your house? And what was I praying over? Something like that? I'm glad you're listening. I was hoping you would listen to that. I want to talk about this. We're live with Chris on by text. Give him just a minute here and let him, if he's going to be able to respond. I love when people are listening when we're prophesying over. You never know what's going on. Last night we were prophesying over Jeff and Yuki. And you said God was opening the heavens and pouring out blessings. Okay. All right. Okay. Very, very cool. All right. Chris, thanks for the response. I appreciate that. That makes it a lot more fun when you got people actually responding to you. I love it, man. This is amazing. Kane, my friend Kane, $20. God bless you, Kane. Thank you, Chris, for all of it. Then you went to after that. Okay. Wow. I don't know. I don't know what that was. Praise God. Cool. Sometimes the words we get don't make any sense. Like when I gave that lady those words about explosives going off all around her, bombs going off all around her, and he's talking about like not knowing what's going on. That was crazy. Came to pass that about 2 years later or so. Yeah, unbelievable. Some of the things you get, you just don't understand it. But we'll see. We'll see it. God's pouring out. Amen. All right. Kane, $20. Thank you, Kane. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for God's trying to set you up for a blessing. It's like I see God setting you up. You know, sometimes the devil tries to set us up, mess us up. God's trying to set you up to bless you up. Yeah, trying to set you up to bless you up. Because he's trying. I see God, you know, raising you up out of a heap of ashes from the past, and those heap of ashes are just sitting there, blowing around in the wind, sometimes getting in your eyes, the heat of ashes of the past, and making your eyes water, like weeping or crying or something. I don't know what that is exactly, but I see God, you know, he's about to heap up on you blessings, and he's about to, you know, those ashes, he's taking those ashes and turn them into glory, and turn them into emotional, mental strength and your fellowship with God, turning your fellowship to God into a whole nother place, like going from being a private in the army, so to speak, to a lieutenant or something like that, you know, like God, you know, all the sufferings and things that you went through, that God is going to, you know, use that. He's going to use the ashes of that to create something brand new. To create something brand new. And he can take an old relationship and make it brand new too. You know, so we don't ever limit God on old relationships to make them new. But many times when I hear God say making something new, like I got a word one time that God told me to my pastor, he said, God's going to make all things new. You know, and that was difficult because I wasn't sure I wanted all things to be made new. I wanted some of my, you know, my past stuff to be, because that's some good past stuff. God says, no, I'm going to make all things new, everything new, everything new. And man, did he ever. And that's when God put me in the ministry. And, you know, I'd been in the ministry before and for years. And, you know, just anyway. So God's restoring and rebuilding and taking the ash heap and taking those ashes and creating something beautiful, creating beauty out of those ashes. And giving you, making your mind think beautiful thoughts, you're going to find a new strength in your mind and your soul to be able to, things that used to mess with you, you know, are just not going to mess with you anymore. You're going to go like, man, that's like nothing. Broken bone is healed up, mended. then it becomes twice as strong. It's like I see you being twice as strong. Like Job. Job became twice as strong. He lost his family. He lost his wealth, all kinds of things. And yet God blessed him double. And so I just see God, you know, taking you like that brokenness and creating double blessing on you. Amen. It's cool that you're offering tonight. It's $20 to this, like the double blessing. 20. He's going to make double out of nothing. God's going to make double out of nothing, seemingly nothing. God can take nothing or something that's been destroyed and take it and breathe on it and create something that will be double blessed in your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. Lord, I thank you for Paulette tonight in the name of the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in her. She gave it $40 for an assignment. We send that $40 on an assignment tonight, God. We thank you that the assignment of the Lord, so when the word of the Lord is sent out, it doesn't come back void. It comes back fulfillment. And I thank you, Jesus, for fulfillment over Paulette, that everything that's been emptied out and broken and spilled out, you will be refilled, overflowing, in Jesus' name, with abundance. In the name of Jesus, God, I declare and decree over her life, in Jesus' name, that she will look in the mirror. I see you looking in the mirror going, wow, who is that? You're going like, I don't know who that person is, but I love them. Looking in the mirror and looking at yourself and going, I love you. You know what? I can say, Paulette, I've never loved myself until I got born again. And I remember one day, I didn't like looking in the mirror. You know, I didn't like what I saw. And when I got saved, I looked in the mirror, and I, for the first time, said, I love that guy. Because I was a new person. I was a new person. And I know you're saved. I know you've already had that experience. But what I see God doing is making something new. You're going to look at yourself and like, well, I love me. You know, the Bible says love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And so there's a godly way to love yourself. And I see this new love for yourself rising up. And the love of God that God has loved you with to fulfill you and adore you and show you how you're adored by him. You're going to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I can see why you adore me. Yeah, look at that, man. That's not arrogance. That's just the truth, right? I can see why you love me, Jesus. Look what you've done. You've done this. You've created me. You're making me. You're changing me. You're building me. You're making new. In Jesus' name. And no devil, no hell, no nothing can stop me. In Jesus' name. Why? Because God is with me. And when God is with you, no man can bring you down ever. Again, not ever again. No devil, no man, nothing. No assignment of the enemy can ever. It's like I see the Lord hiding you out. You cannot be found. Yeah, where you cannot be found, like the Lord hiding you in a sense. And then as he's been doing a work in you, you step out of the cave, like you kind of like Elijah did. You step out of the cave. And all of a sudden, you know, God gives you a new anointing. And you look at yourself in the mirror and go, like, look at that, man. Look who God has made me. It's not about who I am of myself. Look what God has made me. They're going to want me now. Oh, they're going to want me now, and I don't know if I'm going to let them have me or not. They're going to want me now, you know. They're like, we want you. Who are you? What are you? Yeah, I'm a treasure from heaven. And I see God showing you his treasures in you and showing you what a treasure that you are to him. And, yeah, and opening you up to that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Regina. God bless you, Regina, tonight. $40. Thank you, Regina, for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for all the, you know, the cutting covenant and, you know, it's been a bloody mess. Sometimes when something's a bloody mess, we talked about the bloody mess tonight. I don't know if you're able to hear the revelation time, but we talked about the bloody mess of how God provided for Israel. The currency for their whole financial system came from the night of death, of overwhelming death all over Egypt. There was a cry in Egypt like never before. And that cry was because God had the angel of death go through and look for the blood of the doorpost of any door. Any door would have had it, Egyptian or Israelite. It didn't make any difference to God. It's all about the blood of the doorpost. And it had to be the blood of a lamb, not of a goat, or not of a cow or horse. And it had to be the blood of a lamb. And the lamb blood was recognized by the angel as lamb's blood. Believe me, that's so. So anyway, so in Jesus' name, so I thank you, Lord, for Regina and for that covenant. So when you cut covenant, sometimes when things get bloody, when things get messed up, when things start going, get messed up and tore up and, you know, all over the place, it turns into a bloody mess. And in that bloody mess is when God says, you cut in covenant with me. You know, Israel renewed their covenant with God by the blood. That was a bloody mess. And the bloody mess of, and the mess of death everywhere with the Egyptians, that's when God said, go in and take the money. Yeah, that's how God did it. And so through all the bloody mess you've been through all the stuff, that God says there's a covenant that was cut, and I'm going to bring you wealth out of Egypt in Jesus' name. And God's going to bring you wealth and blessing out of Egypt, just like the Israelites went next door to their neighbors and got wealth out of Egypt because their husband and their kids were, firstborns were dead in the living room. And then the firstborn animals were dead. And God did that as a strategy. It was a mess. But God did it that way. And Egypt people said, just get it and get out before we all die. And God set it up for it. There were no other way. No way. But they're going to give that money back unless they were forced in that sense. It wasn't forced literally, but in a sense it was. Because it was horrific. So get ready for that. God's going to bless you with that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Something about that. And all that mess you went through. In Jesus' name. God's going to open up a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And Sandra, $50. God bless you, Sandra. Building fund. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for Sandra tonight, God. We thank you for opening her heart up. To the flow of the river, the change of the river, like there's a change in the flow of the river. You know, like fish, sometimes fish, and I don't understand this at all. They say salmon will swim opposite, you know, the opposite direction. They'll float, they'll swim upstream instead of, you know, you flow with the water, going downstream, they flow upstream where they have mating season and all that kind of thing going on. And so I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means, but there's something going on. What a strange way to say it. But I see the salmon in your life going upstream to do their thing. I'm going to look that up real quick. Okay. Hang on a second, I'm going to Google this. All right. The short answer is to spawn. Salmon are born in fresh waters, usually in cool, fast-flowing waters. Sadly, the effort of returning and fighting for territory and digging nests known as reds in the gravel wears them out, and so much they usually die after spawning. What's happening is it's like there's this, you know, they go to, you know, like they go upriver. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because there's a new crew being born. And I don't know what the going up the river means, like going up against the stream. That sounds like a lot of work, but that's what they do. I don't know how this is going to fit into your work tonight exactly, but I see that kind of thing has gone on. Things going back upstream to spawn or to bring forth, where they have, baby salmon or whatever, eggs. And so there's something going on with that, that this whole thing of going against the flow, that's part of what God does with the salmon. I mean, I've watched him do that in video before and on TV and stuff, but so something's going on, and it's being like going upstream, really difficult, really hard. And so they, to produce, new life. And so there's something going on with you that's been difficult, going upstream, really difficult, but it has a purpose, and it's a God thing, and it's going to produce, increase and multiplication in your life. And so all this stuff about going upstream, swimming against the stream, having to do that, it's like a God-inspired thing that they do. It just makes no sense to me, but that's what they do. So thank you, Jesus, for whatever Sandra's been doing as she's been swimming against the flow, going up the river, upstream, to bring forth this new heritage, this new thing, this whole new life, this whole new thing you're doing with her, God. In Jesus' name, thank you for giving her the strength and the glory and the power to bring forth this new delivery system, God. This new delivery system, in Jesus' name. Open it up for her, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen, amen. New life, new creation, new things going on. In the name of Jesus, bring it forth right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Okay. Greg, we will do that. Amen. All right, Indrika. Thank you, Indrika. Thank you, Lord, for Indrika. $20 for ESW Auto Sales and $30.55 for the family. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for Tyreek. God, we thank you for Tyreek tonight. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. For opening his heart up, God, to a new thing. And opening his heart up to a new place. Okay, hang on just a second. I think I lost something. Give me just a moment here. Indrika, thank you, Jesus, for Indrika. And we're praying for Tyreek tonight. God, I see God really enlarging Tyreek's heart to be able to, it's like God's growing his heart right now to believe big, opening up the bigness inside of him, and opening up the thing in him that is to believe big, like opening up like his ability to not come up short or just believe to just barely get by, but to really open up his Tyreek's heart to believe really big, that his faith is really increasing and multiplying. And so I see God really doing that. So we just pray for that, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that, for increasing him. And the bigger his heart is, the bigger his faith is, and the bigger his faith is, the more activity he's going to be doing from God and going to give him strength to overcome, the things of the flesh and the things of the world and choose God. When you have a big heart, you choose God. You choose God rather than choose people. You choose God. And I see him choose you this day who you will serve. And I see Tyreek just choosing God and God making his heart really big. Torrey, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Torrey. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for opening him up to the financial arena. God, we're going to just make it easy for him to – money's going to be easy for him. It's going to be easy for him to – it's just going to come to him. It's going to flow to him. Somehow it's going to, in Jesus' name. Some of us has to work for it a little bit, but I see God blessing Tor Ray with the faith to be able to believe for that financial things just come easy for him. Other people are struggling. He's just going to say, in Jesus' name, let it be done, and God's going to bless him, something like that. So faith in the financial arena. He's going to make him a great provider. Amen. Chris, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Chris, and thank you, Jesus, God, that you're expanding his heart to know that God is a God of resurrection, that God can take anything that's been broken and fallen apart and resurrect it, no matter what. That means we don't give up on anything. We don't look with what our eyes can see, but we do with what our heart knows. And I see the knowing in God's of God's heart in Chris's heart, and that heart of him knowing that things are going to happen, knowing that things are going to break through, knowing that this thing is even going to be raised from the dead, that nothing's impossible with God. That's the kind of faith that's in Chris's heart. And I thank you, Lord, for exciting that and stirring that up in Jesus' name, where anything that seems to have just fallen apart to nothing, where it's not working, in Jesus' name, that he can believe you, God, to resurrect it and bring it forth in Jesus' name. Because God says, I'm going to do a lot of resurrecting in the next season in Jesus' name, a lot of resurrecting. Amen. All right, Andrika, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika. Father, I thank you for expanding her heart. God expands your heart and your mind, and then expands you. So I see an expansion in your heart, in your mind, and God putting in you particular things to say, particular things, like God pointing out certain words to say, certain things to do. We don't just obey anything and everything. We obey what God tells us. And sometimes God's going to show you that it doesn't take a whole lot of word. We don't have to read volumes of word to get things from God. It's not about how much we read or how much we, it's getting something from the little bit we have. In other words, one word one word from God is better than 1,000 words without revelation. When you get one revelation from one word, it's not about how much you read, but it's about getting 36 and 100-fold out of what you are reading, or not just even the Word of God, but information, and being able to process information through your brain, through your heart. That I see the processing part of your brain and your heart working clearer and faster to process things through, where things don't get stopped up in whatever confusion, or get locked down and bogged down with whatever, but a clarity, and you being able to process things. Because the quicker you process things through, the quicker you can make decisions, the quicker you can take care of business and do things, because the processor is working. And so I see your processor really processing fast and clear and precise in Jesus' name, hallelujah, to make decisions. So ESW Auto Sales, $20 for that. We thank you, Lord. We just bless ESW Auto Sales. Father, I think there's a season, this is the time that God wants to prosper, wants to give us favor, because a lot of people that have been disobedient are going to find themselves without, and those who have been obeying God are going to find themselves within. So I see people being moved without, and I see you being moved, DSW Auto Sales being moved within, like getting within things, getting in the click, it looks like a click, like some kind of a click, but it's not really a click of the flesh, it's a click of the spirit, and things clicking in Jesus' name. Click, 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 clickety-clack, clickety-clack, yeah, in Jesus' name. Be best, be blessed, be best. Be best blessed. Be blessed with the best. In Jesus' name, I speak the best blessing, the blessing of the best, the high quality in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. High quality isn't always new. Sometimes high quality is, you buy, I remember Paul Crouch used to talk about the cars he would buy. He spent a lot of money on them, but they lasted him with little trouble for years. I remember that. Yeah, I remember him talking about that. So open that up for them, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless their vehicles, bless their sales, in Jesus' name. That people buy their cars will function, the vehicles will function well, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Deborah and John, thank you, Deborah. Deborah said, thank you for your prayers and all that. We thank you for that, for your ministry. You're welcome. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate that. We're thankful and appreciative. She says, thank you very much, John and Deborah. We just blessed the $50, and thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for opening up you know, the treasure chest within God, opening up the treasure chest. I see things. I see some things coming in. I see several thousands of dollars coming in, kind of unexpected, kind of like out of the blue, kind of like, where'd that come from? Several thousands of dollars coming in, and I see God exciting somebody to do it for you or something, like they're going to get excited to bless you with it, or maybe it belongs to you. I'm not sure what that is, but I see, you know, an excitement of just like people going like, you know, they want to bless you with this, like, you know, like it's like it belongs to you or something, but they want, there's an excitement about it. In other words, it's not drudgery or, you know, yeah, it's strong, very strong. So thank you, Jesus, for that right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen, in Jesus' name. And bless Deborah. Lord, we thank you for blessing Deborah. God, I thank you for that prophetic revelation inside of her heart, God, to stir that up. It's the creative, because when we look at the word of God, creative, because it's a creative scripture, the scripture came from the Creator, it takes a creative anointing to step into the creative portion of it. And I release that creative portion for her, God, that the Creator God, when he's the word, he spoke from a creative position, and that, God, you showed Deborah the creative part of the word of God that is supposed to create change, create healing, create miracles, create, you know, finances, create things, the creation of things. There was nothing that was created that wasn't created without the word. There's nothing created without the word. The Bible says in John chapter 1, somewhere there. Anything that was created. All was created through the word. Lord, open her up to that realm of the creation, how to create opportunities, how to create, you know, favor, you know, by the word of God and in line with the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Jesus, for that. All right, we'll hear. Hallelujah. Okay. Give me just a moment here. Okay. Okay, give me a second here. All right, give me a second here. All right. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we pray for John tonight. God, we thank you for John in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you, God, that John, you give John the courage to say what he needs to say when he needs to say it, and say it with with faith and hope and love. God, you're giving John you know, you opened up John to an expansion of his faith, Father, where he can, you know, where he stepped out of faith before and it seemed like it might not have worked out in time or the right way or whatever, that he's learned how to step out. But God, I think for the areas like with me, when I stepped out of faith a few times and kind of knocked me back on my back, that, you know, sometimes it just wasn't time. Sometimes I wasn't ready. And sometimes I was just doing it on my own. So God was teaching me how to step out in faith. And I feel like God's going to renew your ability to step out by faith in areas and give you courage. Because what I kept seeing with you, John, was God giving you courage to step out by faith at the right time. Sometimes when it seems the worst time, the wrong time, you know, to step out by faith. That's when God, like Peter stepping on the water when the storm, anytime you step out and walk on water, it's the wrong time, right? But especially when there's a storm raising. Yeah, and so even when it seems like the wrong time, that God will give you the courage, strength to step out like Peter and walk on the water in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you with that, God. All right, Angela Joy, $50 building fund. Thank you, Angela Joy. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for her life. God, I thank you for the blessing of security, of God showing you security, security in different ways. Security meaning protection, and security also mean protection, of being safe, feeling safe, like God's giving you security, like protection around you, and showing you the protection around you, and how to walk in that protection, because it said those he who abides under the shadow of the Most High shall be safe. You know, so God's showing you how to abide in that, and live in that, and dwell in that, not just in our spirit, but our soul and our body and our finances and our family, how to bring your family and believe God for your family to be protected by God, to be secure and the security of their salvation. That God, I see God trying to settle in on some of your family members to have to be secure in their salvation, to make sure that they're saved, that they're right with God. Amen. And God's going to create some circumstances where they're going to go, man, I want to get saved. I want to get saved, because it's just like, you know, God knows how to position people, to put them in a bind just enough to get them saved, to get them to check their salvation out, to make they're secure with God. So I see this word secure and security around you a lot. God securing you, letting you know that you're secure with him, and those around you sense the security, that you feel secure in your salvation, and it's going to make them convicting that they're not secure in theirs, and to make sure that they are. And also, you know, the protection realm, and God's showing you that about being protected. And yes. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, in the whole security realm, so that we know that we're built on the rock, our family's built on the rock, our finances are built on the rock, that nothing can shake it, doesn't matter what goes on. In fact, just like really, really wealthy people, you know, look forward to sometimes, you know, hard times, because then they go in and they buy things. It's kind of like you being so secure on the solid rock that when everything is shaking, you go in and you start buying things, so to speak. You take over things. God uses you to take over things that are now, you know, been shaken, and people are ready to get rid of it for nothing, so to speak. And I see you moving into the realm of getting things for practically, you know, like these wealthy people get things for, you know, a dollar on the you know, for very, normally what you pay $100 for, you're going to get it for a dollar. Yeah. So I don't know what that's about, but in Jesus' name, amen. Let that be done. Hallelujah. All right, Angel of Joy, God bless you. Wow, very cool. Wow, that sounds like a cool thing. Noel, $50. Thank you, Noel, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Or Noel, God, I thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thanks for your prayers and your comments and everything God's having you do. Thank you, Jesus, for Noelle, God, that you are, you know, giving her a, you know, the wonderful counselor, the counselor, and finding out the counselor to be, you know, a wonderful counselor. He's giving you counsel, using you to give counsel, and giving you counsel on things. And sometimes you're going to start recognizing, you know, the counselor as wonderful in a way that you never have in your whole life. You're going to realize the wonderful counsel of God, giving you personal counsel about things that nobody else can give you counsel about. And God is counseling you, the wonderful, you know, the wonderful counselor. He's called Wonderful, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He's wonderful. And I keep seeing the word wonderful with you over the counselor of the Holy Spirit, that your relationship with the Holy Spirit is going to become, you know, that of a wonderful counselor. And powerful in the counsel realm, in the realm of giving counsel, in Jesus' name. Open up the whole counsel realm to Noel right now, Father, by the power of God. and wisdom. And that's all about wisdom. That's what Solomon did. Solomon had the counselor, the Holy Spirit worked with him and showed him what to do and how to do it. And you've seen the Holy Spirit just in a brand new way. I know you already know he's wonderful, but it's beyond that. It's like, man, this is wonderful. Wow, wonderful. He gave me wisdom. He showed me what to do. He showed me what not to do. And thank you, Lord. Even when I didn't know what to do, he moved and did it anyway. And so in spite of me not doing everything perfect, God did it perfectly. It's like God's showing you his grace, like you've seen grace in a way that covers us when we don't really know what to do sometimes. We're overwhelmed. And grace covering you and blessing you and the spirit of counsel, giving you counsel. And counseling you. He becomes your counselor. Yeah, and the compassionate, loving, all-knowing counselor of God counseling his child in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And opening you up to the spirit of counsel. God's going to use you to counsel. You've given counsel to me in ways, I don't know if you knew you were doing it, but, you know, just like the whole thing about the building fund thing. I mean, that was counsel from God. You know, that's what you did. You gave that. And I listened to it. I heard that. Because I don't go along with it. There's a lot of different things that go on. I've been offered a lot of different things from people to do things to get money. And I'm going, I'm really for it. But when you gave that, I saw that as a God thing. So that was counsel you were offering to me even. You know, and it's really been great. All right, Michael from Texas, $100. God bless you, Michael. I think Michael said he just got a car. I don't know if he's on the show tonight to talk about that. But Michael got a car. He hadn't had a car in like 5 years. Thank God for that. Thank God for Michael. Thank God for the car person who blessed him with the car. We have people in the body of Christ that just love to help people get cars. It's amazing. It's really cool. I love it. Some people give cars, some people give land, some people give property, some people give houses, some people give, you know, they love to give their different things. I know people that love to give houses away. You know, Elvis Presley liked to give cars away too. You know, Elvis, he loved to buy people cars and just shock them, man, give them a brand new car. So, you know, I don't know why I thought about that, but anyway, there you go. So thank you, Jesus, for Michael's faith, for God building up his faith and letting him be a good steward. You're teaching Michael how to be a good steward of things. And as he's a good steward, then you're going to add to him and increase him. God's going to give you things, and he's going to test you with it, see how you do it. And as you come through the test, you know, you're not make mistakes and that kind of thing, but we're going to come through that. And when you get tested, then God's going to say, okay, I got your car. Now I'm going to get you a house. You know what I'm saying? It's going to move from one thing to the other or open up a house for you. I don't know if he'll give it to you. I don't know how that's going to work exactly, but it's going to give you the opportunity. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to open up doors for you to get things that you need. But it's all about being tested with what you have. Amen. And coming through that. So God's going to give you strength and courage and wisdom how to be a faithful, loyal servant of God. Amen. That's beautiful. Very, very beautiful. All right. Tanya and Donald, $120 building fund. Thank you for the building fund in Jesus' name. We just bless you, Tanya. I had Tanya's name before yours, Donald, for some reason tonight on this. I don't know what happened with that, but usually I have Donald and Tanya. Tonight I got Tanya and Donald. So we thank you, Lord, for Tanya, God. We thank you, Jesus, for, like, I see God using you to do an operation on people, like God's operated on you before, you know, operations on your heart, operations on your mind, operations on your heart, your soul, your body, you know, like operating on you. And I see, you know, the surgical, medical part of God doing works in hearts and minds, doing surgery, you know, God is doing very intricate surgery, doing very intricate things on people. It's probably a spiritual thing, I'm guessing, but doing like fixing things, fixing people's broken things in their body. Yeah, and I just see, you know, and also spiritual things where he's fixing things spiritually, like a medical doctor goes into surgery in somebody's heart because they've been wounded by their parents or wounded by somebody, a mean husband or a mean wife or a mean mother or father or whatever, or mean, you know, somebody, a mean coach or something, somebody hurt their feelings. And God going into the, so they get their feelings. They need their feelings right. Right now their feelings are angry. Right now their feelings are full of hate. And God wants to turn those feelings, do a surgery on them and turn their feelings into love and forgiveness and compassion. Amen. Well, their feelings get turned around. If their heart is wrong, their feelings are going to be wrong. So God's going to do surgery on their heart to show you how to pray that and believe God for that. All right. come in, an anointing for surgery. Wow, that's cool. Donald, thank you for that 120 and building fund. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for Donald, God, and the Father. You're making him a father in the spirit. God is he's preparing you to be a father in the spirit, man, where you father people, kind of what I do. I brother people and I father people. You know, I learned to just, you know, because how you father people is not because you've become I'm a great father. You know, I don't really think I'm all that great of a father, you know, personally. My dad was a really great dad. Other fathers I've seen, I go, man, I wish I could be a father like that. But what's going to make you a great father, Donald, is the fact that Father God is the one going to train you. Just like with Jesus, Jesus became a father to his disciples. Right? He was their brother, but he's also their father. And how did he become a father? Because of the fatherly relationship that he had with the Father and how the Father fathered him. And God the Father fathering you and that fathering spirit getting on you and just God telling you what to tell say people. Everybody needs to hear different things. Not everybody needs to hear the same old thing. They need to hear what's for them. And fathers know what's for that son in particular. Each son is different. Each daughter is different. They all need different things. And some kids we can be really we're a little more tough with, we're more disciplined with. Other boys we're more gentle with, we're more kind with. It just depends on what they need. And being a true father is knowing the heart of God toward, you know, not only your children, but the people that God's going to bring to you to father them. Amen, in Jesus' name. The disciples and people you're going to disciple and father. I see that already in you, already developed, being developed pretty strong. So get ready for God to open that up even more so. And God's giving you the heart of God. David had the heart of God. What do you think it was? It was a father's heart. David was an amazing father, and yet look how he messed up. Look how he really, really messed up. But you know what? Because he had a father's heart, you know, people loved him. People loved him. Yeah, because he laid his life down for them. And God's given you that ability, that love of the Father to lay your life down. Love, well, the love of the Father always lays his life down for the sheep, always. Amen. Yeah. Cheryl from Florida, $150. Thank you, Cheryl, for that. We just bless you for that in Jesus' name and open up Cheryl's heart, God, to to bring hope and to speak hope into people. I see, you know, this whole thing, Cheryl, about wisdom, about how to give people the wisdom that they need for now. And then you give, you know, 30 days, you know, or 3 months down the road, you give them, you know, a different level of wisdom. Some people are not, they're ready for milk, but they're not ready for meat. And so God's showing you how to give people, instead of giving them meat, giving them milk. Because you give them meat, they get choked on it, and they get messed up, they get confused. But we give them milk, they can swallow the milk and drink the milk. And some people need meat, you know, some people are ready for meat. And God's showing you how to, you know, give that to people, you know, like people that are believing God for, you know, they're like your brother having issues with his surgery and all that. And God's showing you how to give him the milk that he needs. And if he needs meat in some areas, some people need milk in some areas sometimes. They can handle meat in areas. You know, they're more mature in other areas of the life, and they can use meat in that area. And sometimes they need meat and milk, you know. So God's showing you how to do that so people don't choke on the word and just, like, give up, you know. What good does it do to give a word to somebody if they can't relate to it or swallow it, right? Yeah, so God's giving you stuff, food and things, and understanding, wisdom on how to give people what they need. Yeah, really big time. Really, really big time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Open up. Let the manna, like when you need manna, God's going to bring manna. When you need quail, God's going to bring quail. When you need corn, step into the new land that crossed over. God gave the manna. The manna went away. They didn't longer ate manna. I thought manna was so holy. It's so wonderful. Yeah, it was. It was holy for the time they were in the wilderness. That was what it was made for. When they got into the promised land, that all changed. Everything changed. And they ate corn from then on. So the food that we get, like the food they got of corn, it was because they were now in the promised land. They crossed over. No more manna. Just the corn. They ate the corn of the land. Why? Because they were ready for that. And the food that we eat is like feeds us for the circumstances that we're in. You know, the troubles that we're having. You know, yeah. So the type of food they needed in for the troubles in Canaan was obviously corn. You know, yeah, that was the food that they started eating. Manna was a different thing. That dried up. It was all over. That never happened again. Amen. The only place you find manna was in the Ark of the Covenant. And that was just for a testimony. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Bless you. And bless your brother. We pray for your brother in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name that your brother will be healed, made whole. And he will get the food that he needs to live through this thing successfully. In the name of Jesus, the food from heaven, the language from God. Just fill him with language from God. Bring people in and give him languages from heaven, information from heaven, the things that he can that will nurture him and help him and bring him through this time, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Martine from California, $308. Thank you, Martine. Just bless you, Martine, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the help that God is bringing. You said your help's going to come from the Lord. God's wanting to show you that he's a real father. There's a father thing going on with you. God's wanting to reveal the fatherhood of God to you, the protection realm, the provision part of the father, you know, and the man thing, the whole thing about men and man and males, and the fatherhood of God, you know, developing that in you, showing you that he's a provider. That's what men are. Men are more providers than they are anything else. But they got to be. You know, like with me, I could go out and do work and, you know, do construction work, but it was always difficult for me. It's always hard to make a living with that, even though I did it. But when I got into my calling brought forth, you know, the provision because I was doing what the Father wanted me to. So therefore, the fatherly provision, the man provision God gave me, flowed through. And then it flows through, you know, to whoever needs it. And so God's showing you the fatherhood of God and bringing healing to your heart toward males, toward, you know, all that to really bring, satisfy you that men really do care about you, that you really are cared about by a man, by your father, by your heavenly father. And really developing that in your life in a very practical way is going to really bring great nurturement to you and great healing to you. And it's going to bring healing to your daughter, healing to your son, healing to your sisters, healing to the family. God's going to use you to bring healing to the family of the whole male thing, the whole men thing, the whole father thing, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So bless her with that, God. Give her the wings as an eagle to soar in this area to see the Father like never before, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. He will lay his life down for you. Amen. In Jesus' name, bless her money, Ram. God, bless her job, her business, her what she's doing, her finances. In Jesus' name, open that up. Bless her with that. Bless her double, God. Let her walk into the double ramp. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $253, building fund, $165, and then $26. That's 430, something like that, or 35. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We just bless Terrence and Tanisha tonight. We thank you, Lord, for their heart to take people from being survivors to being revivals, revivalists. And Terrence and Tanisha, I both, you know, I see this sense of this revival thing in you. In other words, when I think about revival, Tanisha, I think of stirring people up to believe God. When people know there's a revival going on, like I've been around some real revivals, and those real revivals, you just like, you know, can you go tonight? You got to go to that meeting tonight? I don't care how tired you are. You know something's going to happen. You don't know what it is. Nobody may lay hands on you. May nobody pray for you. But when you go there, you're going to see God do things. You're going to see God do things, whether it's through you, in you, around you, or under the people, but you're going to watch the glory of God move. And I see this whole thing of revival. Of God reviving in your families, Terrence and Tanisha, and seeing revival in your family and God reviving and an excitement that God's just going to do something. Nobody knows really exactly what's going to happen, but man, they're stirred up. They got their faith stirred up. God is using you guys for the revival to stir up faith in Jesus' name, so people will actually like have an expectation that, oh my God, what's God going to do tonight? What miracle is going to happen tonight?
What way is he going to speak? God may have a miracle for you prophetically. He may have a miracle for you financially. He may have a miracle for you, in your physical body. But, you know, it's like we don't – the unlimited passion of God through you guys, stirring that up. You guys are going to stir up the waters so people can run and jump in and be healed. Amen, in Jesus' name. And not just like once a year or whenever the angel stirs it up, but a continual flow, a continual stirring up, a revival in Jesus' name, where people have an expectation of God doing something for them. They don't know what it is. They know it's going to have and not knowing what it is, sometimes what it does that keeps them from limiting God to do it in a certain way, to do it in a certain, you know, like he's only going to heal bodies. You don't know what God's going to do tonight. I've been in revivals. The one I talked about where I became friends with the revivalists, it was one of the most powerful revivals I've ever been in. I saw everything. I saw the prophetic going forth. That guy prophesied to people. My guy's amazing. Prophesied over me, many, everybody. People's teeth were being filled with, I saw this. This is going on. I saw, people being healed of all kinds of diseases. Things are going on. Words of knowledge being spoken. People crying, shaking, flipping out. Oh, my God, what's going on? And it was amazing. And that just got stirred up. You know, I don't know who was responsible for that, the church. The evangelist was the one who flowed in the river, flowed in the power. And, brother, when it got stirred up, it was amazing. It was amazing. And so I see this thing, and I just speak that over your life. Revivals, revivals, revivals. And, of course, here in the PGN, we call them love fest, but the same thing. And I use the word revival because that, for some reason, I don't know why, but revival, revival, revival. In Jesus' name, God, use them to stir up revival. To get people to stir up their faith to the point where they're going to step out of the boat and get out of the boat and step on the water, amen. It takes a Jesus anointing to do that, to get people stirred up to get out of their trouble, get out of their boat, get out of their stuff, and step out of the boat and get their healing, get their miracles. Because if you can't get people to step out, you know, many times Jesus said by your faith, hey, so you have to stir them up. Like when Jesus passed by, people start crying out. And people try to tell people to shut up, quit crying out, but they were so stirred up, they couldn't quit crying out. And Jesus said, wait a minute, I hear faith crying out to me. I can't pass that up. I don't pass anybody when I hear faith. And so Jesus would stop and turn around and say, what do you want? And he would get exactly what he wanted and more. And I thank you, Jesus, for giving Terrence and Tanisha that spirit of revival, that love fest, spirit of revival, spirit in Jesus' name, and that anointing. For the love fest, for people to love each other, for people that have hated each other to love each other, in Jesus' name, to break down the spirit of hate and rebellion, in Jesus' name, and loosen the power of love upon the people of God, and bring hope to them that something can actually happen to them from God. God's going to show up and God's going to do something. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Cheryl, I got another Cheryl from another state, $5 building fund. Thank you, Cheryl. That in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for Cheryl tonight. God, I just bless her and thank her for the provision God's going to make for you. God's making provision for you and showing that he's a provider. When he says he's going to provide for you, it's like, well, what are you going to provide, Lord? Because we always think provision being money, but that's not always his provision. Sometimes his provision is bringing you a husband, bringing you, you know, a job, bringing you whatever. It can bring you a friend. It can bring you a car. It can bring you a house. God can be, so his provision can be anything. And so I see God showing you how to, that the way God provides for you is going to be done in order. In other words, the order that you need it. In other words, what do you need first? God wants to provide that because you have to build a foundation in your life of provision so that he can build upon that provision the way God does it. You know, he puts the heavy stuff, the big stuff, the rocks and the foundation stones in the bottom, and then you build upon that. So I see God in the provision realm, all the different kind of provisions that you need, opening that up for you in Jesus' name and giving you a heart to believe him, to not limit him to just one thing or the other, but for everything, you know, the love of your life, the house, the home, the car, the provision, the love, the kids, the family, everything in Jesus' name. And make your heart sing. God's going to make your heart sing, girl. That's what I see God doing, making your heart sing
He wants to make your heart sing. I see your heart singing unto the Lord. Amen. And being grateful to God for what he's doing in you, in Jesus' name, and calling you out of the boat and teaching you how to walk by faith, teaching you how to walk in the water and keep your eyes off the storm. Amen. And on Jesus. Amen. That's awesome. All right, Greg, $20 from Arizona. Future wife. Yes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just agree with that future wife, God. God, in Jesus' name, teach him how to, you know, how to be in the right place at the right time. And that drawing power of God, that you draw all men. God can draw all women. I mean, literally, physically, that he wants. So in Jesus' name, open it up, God. In Jesus' name, a faithful and a loyal person who will put God first. Doesn't put Greg first, but put God first. Sometimes it's offensive when we feel like when our loves, our mate, is not putting us first, but putting God first. But when you realize that when they put God first, that means that God's going to give them love for you. God's going to give them, you know, trust for you when they put God first. You know, when we don't, because we're not going to be perfect, right? God's perfection, God makes up for our imperfections with their dedication to God. So God, bring that dedicated woman of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and be a very homebody person who wants to have a home and a family in Jesus' name. Bring that woman who wants a home and a family, God, in Jesus' name. Open it up, God, where they can sing together, they can dwell together, they can do, sometimes minister together at times in the name of Jesus and stand up before the people and sing and worship and adore the Lamb of God. Amen. Adore the Lamb of God. There's something about that word, adore the Lamb of God. Adore the Lamb. I don't know if it's a song. Adore the Lamb of God. Yes, let's gather together and adore the Lamb of God. He's our Lamb. He's our provision. Yeah, something like that. Come and adore the Lamb of God. The Lamb. Adore the Lamb of God. Anyway, in Jesus' name, you can adore the Lamb of God together. In Jesus' name, bring it open, God. Break it open. In Jesus' name, showing God that your provision is for a woman in his life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He will conquer this. He's going to conquer. You're going to conquer this woman. It's like you're going to conquer her somehow. I don't know what that means. You're going to conquer her. She's going to see you as a conqueror. She conquered her heart because nobody could conquer her heart before, something like that. You conquered her like she's going, wow, I can't believe I love you. He conquered me. Yeah, take me away, Greg A. Jesus' name. Amen. Open that up, God. All right, Jessica, $25. Hi, hi. Hi, hi to you, too. If you could ask prayer for a covering for my new friend, Doug. He's coming back to the Lord. He might be getting rebaptized soon. All in any prayer for him would be wonderful. Yes, amen. Lord, we thank you for Doug tonight, Jesus. But we thank you for Doug that he will wish for the old times. But when he wishes for the old times, he's going to get new times. He will wish for the old times, God, that he will wait. Man, I wish I could have it like I had it before. God, when he does that, you're going to give that to him. You're going to make it better than before, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for Doug, God, that Doug will find his way as you cause Doug to feel lost, because when we can be lost and not feel lost. And I thank you, Lord, for letting him realize how lost he is without you. Open that up in his heart where he will realize how lost that he is, and that him getting right with you, God, in Jesus' name, letting him know just how far out of how lost that he is, that you don't want him to be lost, you want him to be found. And, Lord, you're going to show him that you come to like a lamb about to jump off the cliff and, you know, not realizing that they're eating, not paying attention with it, and about to step off the cliff. And in Jesus' name, Lord, you're going to save Doug from that, in Jesus' name, like a shepherd, bringing him back. Sometimes the shepherd has to the lamb and put the lamb around his neck and his shoulders and carry him off. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that. Open that up for Jessica in the name of Jesus. And give Jessica a heart, Lord, for that revival thing, that outpouring thing. That love for the lost, that love for the backslidden, that love for those who God wants to make pure virgins, you know, where they come back fresh to the Lord, like, you know, like a pure virgin, like, you know, and got a lot of stuff in between them, just like them and God, them and God, them and God. You're giving her a heart for that God in Jesus' name. And she can believe for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up her heart, God, to trust you more than ever before. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Marja, $30. Thank you, Marja. In the name of Jesus. All right. Hang on a second here. Give me just a moment here. Give me a moment. I'll be right back. Okay, Marja, $30. Thank you, Marja. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for Marja. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the whole family thing, God, the family of God, feeling like she's, you know, part of the family, connected to the family, flowing with the family, the family anointing. You know, God told Abraham, sorry, it was all about, you know, the seed in the care for the family of the body of Christ, and feeling connected to that, God, in Jesus' name, that there is a divine supernatural connection, God, to the body of Christ, and that she is you know, going to be a connector that connects people, and a connector that, you know, prays things into connection where they are connected in Jesus' name, and treasures that are opened up for people, treasures of family situation, treasures for families financially, that they find their wealth, they find their inheritance, they find what belongs to them in Jesus' name. They find that, you know, they, you know, have, you know, those demonic inheritances that pass through the families, that God stops that, that God gives a new family DNA, a new family line, a new family bloodline, if you will, and changing the bloodline and believing God for the blood of Christ, the DNA, the flesh and body of Jesus, you know, be the very thing that stops that from, you know, stops the devils from being able to hinder and stop and move people out of their position with Christ and take rob them of their inheritances. There's a lot of people that get robbed of their inheritance in the natural realm and also in the spiritual realm too. So in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for that and opening that up right now by the power of God. And, you know, bring her inheritance, God. Bring her inheritance, her spiritual inheritance, her natural inheritance, whatever inheritance. In the name of Jesus, I loosen that by the power of God, and I call that forth now in Jesus' name. Come forth. Come forth, family. Come forth. You know, the godly husband, the godly family, the godly children, the godly, let the godly part of these people just come out in Jesus' name, come forth. We call them forth, you know, out of Babylon into the glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ right now in the name of Jesus. Come forth in Jesus' name. Come forth, treasures that belong to these families, that belong to Marge, in Jesus' name. Come forth, treasures, financial treasures, monies, yes, in Jesus' name, principalities, come forth, in the godly principalities, not just the demonic, but godly principalities, in Jesus' name, come forth and bring that inheritance, God, in the name of the Lord that belongs to her from God. Amen. Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you, saith the Spirit of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the heavens. Pour out that blessing, God, right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Nicole, $15. Building fund, $15.25. Thank you, Nicole. Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for that $15. We thank you, Lord, for the new resting place. I see you finding a resting place. A resting place with God, a resting place for, I don't know what that resting place for your family, for your resting place, for your future, the resting place, like God bringing you to the resting place, the place where you can rest, where you can go, okay, this is God. This is God. Doesn't mean all the battles and struggles, we don't have any of those, but the resting place. When you find that resting place, we labor to enter into the rest. So everything is about entering into the rest of God. And so, Lord, I thank you for her finding that resting place where she belongs, where she fits in, where she knows that she's valued and honored in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord. Let that be done right now by the power of God, the resting place. Okay. Okay. Jonathan, $3.33. God bless you, Jonathan. Bless you in Jesus' name. God, just break through his financial arena. Let him flow in that creative flow in the name of the Lord. Let that creative power of him that is in him to flow out in the name of Jesus, the creative power of God to flow in him and through him in Jesus' name. Open him up, God, where he'll step out of the boat and walk on the water in the name of Jesus. Step out of that boat and walk on the water in the name of the Lord and sustain him, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, the sustaining power of God. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, all right, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Nikki and Charles, $20. Thank you, Nikki and Charles, Building Fund. Pray that Christian does well on his test at school tomorrow and Tuesday of next week. And, of course, Charles and me, love you, Prophet Randy. Thank you very much for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Christian, God, that you just give him, you know, it's for the building fund. And so we thank you, Jesus, for the building that you're doing with her, God, that you're building. God, we thank you for building with the Christian. We thank you that Christian is, you're going to use him even as a builder to build. So build upon his life, God. He do well. Learn how to take tests and learn how to think through a test correctly and give him wisdom and all that, God. In Jesus' name, anoint his brain, God, that he will use his brain and his spirit brain also, which knows all things and can figure out things and can reason things out rationally. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, by the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. All right. Charles, we pray for Charles tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Charles, that God, Charles is the heart you've given Charles to, to be well and to be conquered, but to conquer. And you've given Charles a heart to conquer. And we thank you, Jesus, that all the things that are trying to conquer him, that he's going to conquer them in Jesus' name, through Christ, through his humility, through his spirit of prayer, through the spirit of yielding to God in the name of Jesus. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that warrior heart in him, God, to not give in, not give up, but only yield over to the Lord. That, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Abednego said, King, even if you don't deliver me, I'm not going to bow. I'm not bowing except, to God. I only bow to God. You can throw me in the fire if you want to, but I'm not going to bow. So in Jesus' name, you're teaching him how not to bow, God, in the name of the Lord. And for Nikki, God, we thank you, Jesus, for the power to just to release and to bless and to, make things right, get things are, the righteousness of God is always showing us how to make things right, how to get things right, how to keep things right. And the righteousness of God also watches over things. So if they start getting messed up, they can get fixed. They can get, reestablished. And thank you, Jesus, for trust, for giving her trust, God. The ability to trust and to believe in Jesus' name, in the heart of a person, in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We all go through cycles and through cycles of warfare, cycles of storms. And I thank you, Lord, that this cycle of storm, you're teaching her how to walk on the water, God. She's going to walk on the water in the name of Jesus. It's going to be awesome. Walk on the water in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless their money, bless their finances, God, in Jesus' name, increase and multiply them exponentially. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, y'all, I think that is basically, I think that's it for tonight, as far as I can see. Amen. Getting a lot of testimonies about words that we're giving. Really thankful for that. Thank you guys for responding and sharing the testimonies about the words. We love it. Builds us up, you know. We know God's doing stuff, but when you hear it specifically in detail, it's really cool. So please keep that up. We really love it a lot. Amen. We thank you for it. Thank you for all your giving, your love for the Lord. We thank you for all of it. Keep praying for PGN Studios. Amen. God's going to do it. It's going to happen. All right? All right. All right. I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank you, everybody, for your love and for your graciousness and your kindness. We really, really do appreciate it. Amen. And so, amen. All right. We love you guys. God's going to restore and rebuild and teach us how to walk on the water. Sometimes he stirs up a storm to see if we'll walk on the water. That's what it does for me all the time. Not all the time, but, you know, sometimes he stirs up a storm just to see us, just to see if we'll get out of the boat and walk on the water. We don't have to get out of the boat. We don't have to. It's like he's not forcing us, but he wants you to, and if you choose to, he's going to bless you. And Peter ended up being the guy, because he walked on water, that was used for the spirit of revival. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Get out of that boat, walk on the water, show him. Let God see that you got your eyes on him and you're trusting him, asking him, do I walk? Can I walk on the water? He's going to go, yeah. Amen. Come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Really, really great night. What a great week. What a crazy week. What a mind-boggling week for me. I mean, some of the stuff he's sharing with me is like mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Amen. Amen. The thing about being appointed to wrath, I look at the word appointed, means beforehand or designated, decided on. God hadn't designated any of us. He's gonna pour his wrath out, and the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Even you see where the angels, where the Bible even says, God tells the angels, you know, when you pour out your wrath, don't touch any of these people. So he can pour out his wrath and not touch certain people. Isn't that amazing? Look at the angel in the book of Revelation, where he said they were about to destroy the trees and the land and some other stuff. And he says, wait a minute, don't touch those people. Don't do anything until they're sealed. Amen? Yeah, when you're sealed, they're protected. Sealing means being protected. And yet the wrath of God got poured out all around them. Didn't come near them. Amen? Didn't touch their life. Hallelujah. All right. All right, we're going to keep talking about all this stuff until we get it straight. God's going to show us. It's going to be amazing. All right, everybody, we love you. God bless you, and we will talk to you soon. Amen. Bye-bye.